As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
What are you looking at, Beetle?
9 to noon.
Just listen. Just listen.
EA. Wild.
The game is over.
We wish you a good night.
You like that?
9 to noon.
Personal foul. Clipping.
Hold on to your butts.
Cleared by Philadelphia to center, and time is going to run out on the Wild on this Tuesday night in St. Paul as Philadelphia comes from behind and defeats the Minnesota Wild by a score of 5-4.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
Finding that next goal, and we have it on our stick, and we just don't put it in.
I'll be the one if you want me to.
I don't know if you can count on both hands how many times in the third period it's been tied and we've taken a penalty and they scored.
Anywhere I would have followed you.
I find it mind-boggling.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
We'll be back behind the goal, lost it to Palmieri. They score! Palmieri to Heischer. Heischer backhands it in, and the Devils have beaten the Wild 5-4.
It seems like right now it's like, whoa, you know, I mean, once we get the lead, we're afraid to finish it off.
Nothing at all.
You try to defend all the time, and it's a losing way to play. When you get four, you should be wanting to go to six.
While they're facing their fourth straight loss, a good share of the crowd has left the XL Energy Center here in St. Paul as the final horn goes, and the Blues complete the shutout, complete their 10th straight win as they blank the Wild here by a score of 4-0.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
Everybody wants to count us out because we're not playing well right now, but at the same time, I believe we're going to turn it around. We always have in the past.
Sorry that I couldn't get to you.
We just need that one spark, I think. I know I've said this a little bit too many times right now, but I still believe so. Goal is to make the playoffs and then go from there.
Say something, I'm giving up on you. And I...
Stall of the face-off against Getzlaff, won by Getzlaff and Anaheim. On the right wing goes Ryan Getzlaff, gains the line off for Corey Perry. He shoots, he scores! Just like that, Perry comes down, beats Dubnyk. That was on the glove side, and it's 2-0 Anaheim.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
Wild will clear it all the way down the ice. Ducks don't particularly care. They set up shot back behind their net. They're just going to run out the remaining time here, and Minnesota's going to have a winless four-game homestand, 0-3-1.
I'm not going to be very cordial today.
Something I'm giving up on you.
Play around with a bad football team, bad things happen.
Say something.
Pear-shaped. Wild.
Maybe they are all giving up. Say something, and maybe they have given up on you. The fans. Apathy clearly is set in. It's a virus circulating through the state of hockey, which has become the state of schlocky. Good morning. It's 9:05. This is 9 to noon, at FM 100.3 KFAM and the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios. Master Mixer, Morning Montage on this snowy Wednesday, Eric Nordquist. The 9 to noon vast and ever-expanding team welcomes you to a day of play. We haven't scored a goal in 156 consecutive minutes. Last night, Twitter was boring and not super negative. The arena seemed quiet and sad. And callers I heard on Fanline, amazingly calm. We haven't scored a goal in 156 consecutive minutes. So what do you want to do? Do you want to yell? Do you want to yell into your phones 9 to noon? Yell into Twitter with the keyboard terrorism? Because Zucker never scores. Granny might have been robbed. We never win. All of a sudden, we never score, despite scoring 8 against Philly in New Jersey. Do you want to yell? Or is it proverbial tail between legs right now? What do you want to yell at the new guy, Hunt, for messing up that play leading to a 3-on-1 and Kessler scores? I mean, what do you want to do? You want to yell? Do you want to, like, has the fan base completely say something? We have given up on you. Is that happening?
I don't want to yell. I haven't given up. I want the team to win every game. But I picture a situation where I'm in my car and I have driven myself onto an icy body of water. The ice breaks. My car is sinking. I can't get out. And at some point, I'm almost coming to terms with the fact that this might be the end.
Might be it.
The water's starting to come in, and it's cold, PA.
Can't break the windows.
And it's taking my breath away. And all I need to do is figure out the strength to get that door open so I can get out. But I can't. And at some point, the crying, the gnashing of teeth, and the weeping, and the frustration, you almost find yourself accepting your fate.
Jeez.
And as a Wild fan, I want this team to win every game. I want them to win a Stanley Cup every year. I love the coach. I love a fair amount of the players.
Fate acceptance.
But right now, I'm finding trouble getting that strength and that grit and that fight to get emotionally compelled with a team that doesn't get emotionally compelled, that doesn't have the fight and the effort and the energy to get it done on a nightly basis.
How sad was the montage?
Oh, it sucked putting it together.
How sad was that montage?
I mean, I'm irritated with the drive in here now. It's like, oh my God, say something. I've given up on you. I got Boudreaux's sad words after L, after L, after L, after L.
Yeah.
5-4 loss. 5-4 loss. Can't muster anything against the Blues. 4-0 loss against the Ducks. It was very sad, PA.
Who can pull us out? Blackhawks struggle. Kane and Taves save the day. Anaheim struggles. Kessler, Perry, and or Getzlaff save the show. I love Parisi, but can he do it by himself? Fair to say, we caught absolutely no breaks last night. That's okay. Puck luck, that's hockey. That's hockey. Hitting posts, crossbars, quick whistle on a granny goal, Anaheimer score on a knuckleball off a post. By the way, props to Ducks goalie Ryan Miller. Not that we made things super difficult for him. He's 38 years of age. Main man might struggle to get into the crouch these days. He's won 5 in a row over the course of 3 months. Shut us out. Allowed 2 goals to the champs twice. 1 to Tampa. Tampa's the best team in the NHL. Ryan Miller entered the league in 1999, or I think when Norda was in middle school, and I had jet black hair and one chin. He set a record at Michigan State with 26 shutouts, won the Hobey Baker. Went 5-0-1 in the Vancouver Olympics, housed the silver after Sid the Kid beat us in OT. What the bleep is happening? Beteto, Aberg, Hunt, who are these guys? What has happened to our team? Boudreaux took 2 questions at his presser,
yeah,
and then he left.
I'm not going to be very cordial tonight.
It wasn't a mic drop.
No, it wasn't a mic drop. It was, I have nothing to say. In some ways, he actually, out of respect,
yeah,
for Kevin Gorg, I believe, who asked 1 question, and then Russo, yep, asked the 2nd question.
Uh-huh.
Out of respect for potentially, in mongoose-like fashion, attacking the media.
Sarah McClellan was like, what about me?
He's just like, look, I can't do it.
Finn's guy was like, what about me?
What about me? Oakland. It wasn't good.
They need to go have some drinks together tonight in New York City, rekindle the fire, get buzzed, take funny shots at each other, break the ice, hide somebody's phone for 30 seconds and watch them panic. Hide Suter's phone for 30 seconds and watch him pat on his pockets and look under the table.
Yeah.
And then be like, no, here it is, Ryan. Do something. Do anything. Say something. They're giving up on you.
Stick number 20 with the tab and laugh your way out to the Cavs.
Yeah.
See how that works.
Yeah.
Get everybody laughing again.
Yeah. Do a team-wide dinner at a swanky Manhattan restaurant.
Yeah.
With a tab at like $3,800, have the concierge page a Ryan Suter to the podium.
Yep.
He leaves and goes to answer the bogus page. Everybody gets up and leaves, and he has to pay the tab.
Oh, it's perfect.
That's funny.
Get people laughing again.
And then if he's pissed off, guys, that wasn't funny.
Take it out on the ice, number 20.
Take it out on the ice or give him the money. But at least say something. They're giving up on you. Break the ice. Hide Suter's phone. Do something.
Mm.
Do something funny, anything. Timber Tech set list, what's on deck? The 9 to noon set list constructed each and every day by Timber Tech and TimberTech.com. The Techies in studio with some Twins talk 20 minutes from now. Berkbit is here at 11. And next, 9 to noon implores Kirk Cousins to stop tweeting. Nordo produces. I'm Paul Allen. Brian Heating and Cooling Studios, FM 100.3, KFAN. Back after this.
Not much else to say.
You're listening to PA.
You're going to therapeutically analyze me?
Yeah.
Well, you better pack a freaking lunch because I'm a mess on many levels, but go ahead.
On the Fan.
Programming of the Fan brought to you in part by Quick Trip.
One, two, three, and...
Standing by the highway, waiting in the rain.
Song called Ain't No Fun.
Standing by the highway, waiting in the rain.
Larry Graham singing Ain't No Fun to Me.
Right there!
The sun is shining.
For Kirk Cousins.
Right there!
It should be Ain't No Fun to tweet.
Why people break up only just to make up. Hey, baby, yeah. I really ain't no fun to me. I really ain't no fun to me.
9:29 to noon, Techie on deck. Twins Conversation dominates the two-segment journey with Aaron Gleiman. Mix some basketball in, too. But first, Nordo, did you happen to listen to the Grom? The program yesterday.
Bits and pieces of it, yes.
Common was discussing Kirk Cousins and tweeting something about Miami and why King James came there. Of course, after doing so, Cousins was savaged in his mentions.
Big time.
I mean, just savaged. It just super, super mean-spirited. That's okay. Because to whom much is given, much is expected. And if you put yourself out there like that and you have notoriety, or even if you don't have notoriety, you open yourself up needlessly, in this case, in my opinion, to the savagery.
From what I'm seeing, he received nearly 940 responses to said Miami tweet.
Do you wish he tagged you in it to help with the followers?
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Did I just change your face?
You changed my face.
So just like paraphrasing, cold here, sunny and happy there. That's awesome. Rubes are late for work due to scary travel, and Kirk's throwing passes to an Islander at some rock star destination. Good gig if you can get it, man. He's loaded. Many are broke or bugged. He's living his best life despite fumbles and pick sixes. I couldn't care less, but it's awful what's happening in his mentions. I mean, to each their own, man. He can be throwing passes to Islanders in Grand Cayman. heading to South Beach where it's like 85 degrees and lamenting the negative weather here in Michigan and how great it is there. I could not care less.
Don't we expect that in a lot of cases with players? Off season, we hear all about. They're going to sunny destination.
It's not just players. It's you see it. I've already received a couple of emails to the Bradshaw and Brian inbox, and they don't bug me at all. It's like main man listening to Say Something, I'm Giving Up on You montage from Cabo San Lucas.
Yeah.
Listening to 9 to Noon from Punta Cana. That's cool, man.
I'm envious, but I ain't mad at him.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We're fine. We're fine. Kirk, enjoy Miami. Enjoy the Cayman Islands. We're cool here, man. It doesn't bug me, but it does bug some people. Can't believe many with the Vikings are enthralled with the way this is developing. I'm not speaking for the team. Boss Burke compensates me for my instincts. And I'm guessing that there have to be some people with the Minnesota Vikings organization not enthralled with the way this Twitter situation with Cousins is developing. So 9 to Noon is imploring Kirk Cousins to jettison Twitter, main man. Call it quitter because you quit Twitter.
Mm.
Like a week ago, he offered up a giveaway on Twitter, like an autographed helmet, a jersey, a picture, whatever. Did it on Twitter. Nice gesture. Kindness. Becoming one with Rube Nation. His mention subsequently would have made Hannibal Lecter blush. Paraphrasing a couple. What you should give away. How about your 3-year deal with the Vikes, wrote one negative.
Oof.
Quote, give away a pass to the other team. You're good at that, end quote. Somebody else typed. Stuff like that. Why does Kirk Cousins tweet as much as he does? Why does he let the walkers in? I'm not even totally sure the negatives attacking his mentions does not bug him. If image matters to Kirk Cousins and some marketing firm, this, what has transpired over the last week, should require a meeting or at least a suggestion-related text or a call from somebody at the marketing firm saying, check your mentions lately. The majority of them are flat, mean-spirited.
They're awful.
It's awful. So just stop. Just stop tweeting, please. Good God. The Washington Post wrote a story about how he was destroyed on Twitter after the giveaway bit. The Washington Post!
Yeah.
So you got somebody with the Washington Post looking at the tweet, seeing the mentions, and then filing a story for the newspaper. That's big.
And it was massive clicks for the capital area who got to sink their teeth into the guy that was no longer there stepping on his proverbial Washington Redskins-related grave.
Right.
I mean, he had a tweet a couple of days ago, and he's pumped. I think that they're flying somewhere. And it was just a picture of him and his lovely wife, who's pregnant, I believe, with their second child.
Okay.
They happened, it appeared, they weren't flying coach on a Delta flight.
Okay.
Okay, breaking news.
Which also doesn't bug me. When you have loads of cash, you have the right / opportunity / means to have a private jet.
Yeah.
That and doesn't bug me.
When you're in big spot athlete circles, you may know someone that owns a jet, or at the least, you'll certainly front the cash for it. And somebody tweets, flying privately thanks to the sucker owners who pay you. I'm so happy you passed on the Jets. Welcome, Sam Darnold.
I can't believe.
Are you kidding me?
I can't believe. And I have not been in contact with anybody in charge with the Minnesota Vikings organization. No COO, no GM, no head coach, nothing. And I'm not speaking for them. But in knowing how things operate, not only in this league, but with this team, I can't believe people of the Gucci's, people in charge, people of significance, are enthralled with the way this whole thing's going.
This can't be good for his merch sales.
Main man, you're perfectly crafted. Good looking, square jaw, wonderful family, tons of cash, a spot in Grand Cayman with a grill on the deck, NFL quarterback. Why tweet? Why tweet? For what reason? Specifically, after you look at your mentions, and people are making fun of you. Is this a marketing agency driven bit with the long play being, hey, this will make you one of us or one of the guys? It's not happening.
No, it's not.
If that was the marketing firm directive, it's not happening. And you need to recognize it's not happening.
Think about where we're at in all of this, though. I think about this for a second. We're to a point, because ultimately, Kirk Cousins or anyone, regardless of the situation, with their social media account should be able to put out there, hey, this is what I'm doing. My lovely wife, she's 37 weeks pregnant. God bless her. She's still rocking. It's my brother's wedding, etc. I do happen to be on a private plane. I am playing catch on the beach in somewhere in the islands in the Bahamas. I'm not building a snowman in Minneapolis trying to be one of us just yet after the 8-7-1. Sorry for that. I'm in warm weather. I'm in Miami. It's beautiful down here.
If you're here during this sideways snow and you're outside shoveling your driveway, tweet that.
Tweet that.
I mean, then the mentions are going to be one of us. God bless you. Can't wait to watch you next year. Hey, they had to fire the offensive coordinator last year. Team Stefanski. Good luck with Gary Kubiak. Can't wait to watch the games.
But we're at a point now in this world, in this beautiful world that we live in, despite the weather outside, where we're asking him not to tweet because of the walkers. We expect so little out of the average person that operates in a pseudo-anonymous capacity with the ability to touch the lives of anyone out there via Twitter or Instagram.
Nameless, faceless.
Nameless, faceless walkers. We expect so little of them that for the livelihood and the positivity of the quarterback, the aura, the merch sales, importantly, and all of those other things, that we're asking him to stop tweeting because we know the walkers aren't.
We can't control the walkers.
We can't control the walkers.
The only thing you can do is put a dagger in their heads.
Put a fence up.
That's it.
And the fence up in this particular case to keep the walkers out is to put the phone down.
Right. Put the phone down.
Put the phone down. Stop. That's your fence.
He needs to stop tweeting. And somebody needs to tell him to stop tweeting. Fans want key completions on third down, rushing touchdowns, adversity overcome, games won by the quarterback. They couldn't care less about tweets, and this gives the nameless, faceless negatives a chance to change your day. Kirk Cousins needs to stop tweeting. Enjoy the offseason in obscurity. If he works with a marketing firm, and I had a say, I'd strongly encourage him to stop tweeting.
Yeah.
What good is it doing?
Yeah.
What good is it doing? I mean, the one with King James, somebody with the marketing firm, or he comes back with some anchorman gif.
Yeah, boy, that escalated quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not even funny.
It did.
That's not funny, because now if you do that, the walkers know there is a crevice between two fence posts.
Yeah.
Where you have noticed them and you can get and they can get through.
He's acknowledged the vulnerability in his defenses.
Don't! You have everything. It's not going to end well. It's not. It's just not. You can have 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, one season that had some positives from the quarterback spot. There are things that need to improve. Everybody can concede that. The offensive coordinator got fired three quarters of the way into it, weren't running enough. All the tired narratives, we've all gone over 8 million times. But that's what, if they get a crack at you, that's what's going to come up.
Yeah.
So why see it? Why put yourself in that spot? Antonio Brown has been tweeting a lot lately. How's that going for 84?
It's not going well.
He couldn't care less. Why? I mean, I'm sure he couldn't care less. He's getting savage all over the place. He's giving those who want to mix football in mid-February, non-combine draft or free agency related stuff, he's giving them ammo day by day via Twitter, Mr. Big Chest. Mr. Big Chest, who do you think you are? Avoid the slings and arrows of the outrageous negatives, main man. Stop tweeting. Those who don't matter in the mainframe of what you do are finding enjoyment at your expense. Lay low. Get that mind ready for the 2019. And 9 to noon is imploring Kirk Cousins to stay off Twitter.
You're listening to PA.
I will punch you, pal.
On the Fan.
It's Laura with Heppner's Auto Body. Winter's icy, slippery roads have arrived, and driving in this weather can be tricky. If you get into a fender bender this winter, we have 6 metro locations to get your vehicle in quickly and repaired correctly. Heppner's offers free estimates, a lifetime guarantee on all our work, and rental vehicle assistance, so your commute doesn't have to be complicated because of an accident. Just stop into one of our shops for more details. Find your Heppner's at heppnersautobody.com. That's heppnersautobody.com.
9 to noon. Faith Radio. Twin Techie.
Time for 2 more.
Gleeman. Hardcore Gleeman. The voice of the Vikings. Gleeman.
And his
Twin Techie.
How was the drive to the Fan?
I mean, I was a passenger, so it went all right.
Oh, beloved BJ gave you a ride?
No.
Beloved BJ gave you a ride.
Jesus. It's too early for that, P. No, Ubered it again. And even that.
You Ubered from North Minneapolis to
Northeast,
Northeast to St. Louis Park?
I did, yeah.
Why?
Because I...
What about the Honda Fit?
I looked outside and I thought, I don't even know that this Honda Fit can get out of the parking garage at this point. Like, I feel like it'll...
Does a Honda Fit have wheels that are akin to like the tires or the wheels that are on those little Mattel cars?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like I joke that it's like the Flintstones where you have to put your feet at the bottom and go.
Yeah.
But it really is like that. Like there's sometimes where I'll be like at a stoplight and there's like a some small amount of snow on the ground.
Yeah.
And I feel like me rocking back and forth will get it moving better than the actual engine of the car. It's very sad. And so I look out the window this morning.
Yeah.
And PA keeps inviting me on the show the morning of blizzards, not back to back weeks. Yeah. Which,
and normally you're on Tuesdays, but I had a Vox in the box yesterday. Which copyright Elton John was like a funeral for a friend, so I had to move it to a Wednesday. Yeah. Look what Mother Nature's doing that biatch.
It's ridiculous. The only real choice is because like I don't like to call in.
Yeah,
because I like to look you in the eye when you're saying stuff. I feel it creates better radio. And B, I wouldn't want to deprive you of your ability to squeeze my sides in person each time when I come in. Because I feel like that is really the only benefit.
That
like,
was
you're,
private.
You're fine having a good guest and everything, but like the reason you have me in here weekly is to get those squeezes in.
The supple side swipes, bountiful as they are
you. All right. Yeah, they are. Boy, are they.
It's private.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, sorry. You didn't need to crack the mic with
but
that.
But that's why I feel I have to come in here. And so the only real solution
I'm here to help you, though.
I can either... We either have to be better meteorologists, and I can't be coming in the morning when it's, dumping 8 inches of snow on us. Like, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, look out. It's ridiculous as we look out the window of the studio here.
Unlike the 2 inches overnight BJ's used to talking about. I always loved that one.
She's out of town, so she's not listening to this. Okay. So I don't feel that bad that you're saying this. But...
iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm sure she'll tune in.
With all due respect to everybody involved with something called the Honda Fit, which I'd never heard of until I met you.
Yeah.
I endorse Walzer, like Burnsville Mazda.
Yeah.
Let's put you in a four-wheel drive, fresh automobile from Walzer.
Yeah.
Okay?
Let's.
Well, let's do it now.
I'll take anything will be an upgrade.
Because now I feel guilty that you've Ubered 2 consecutive weeks, so I got to get in my wallet.
Get several million dollars.
I got to give you money. I'm giving you money when these segments are done for being kind enough to Uber to the 9 to noon radio presentation, when I can send you right down to Buck Hill Road to Burnsville Mazda, put you in a four-wheel drive Walzer from Walzer, and boom, there we go.
Yeah, then I'll just be cruising. I'll be saying, anybody need to get picked up on the way to the studio? Like, I'll be making trips. Like, I'll be Ubering all of a sudden. There's extra income from I'm into that. Believe me.
You'll be showing off.
There's like 3 months a year where the Honda Fit is a good car.
Yeah.
It doesn't eat much gas. You can parallel park that sucker wherever because it's tiny.
Yeah.
And then for the other 9.5 months every year, unusable. So, yeah. Yes, I will gladly take any kind of upgrade.
Manny Machado, 10 years, $300 million to the New York Jets, Boston Rep, L.A. Dot, Texas Rep, Chicago Cup, the San Diego Padres, oh my God.
Odd, isn't it, from all we've heard twins-wise, that you know these mid- and low-market teams that don't have their winning window wide open.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand how
Mother Nature and the Honda Fit have you so pissed off.
Crank.
Now you're going to lay into the freaking baseball team because the Padres of all teams gave somebody a 10 and 300.
First of all, how nice would it be if someone's like, we're going to give you $300 million, you come live in San Diego. Looking outside right now, I would do that. I'm willing to do that for $100 million. I'll tell you that right now, PA.
Yeah, 12 months a year for the Honda Fit.
Yeah, that's right. Probably the best-selling car in San Diego, although probably not. People in San Diego tend to have an upgrade over that. But it's an interesting signing. I think the Padres are similar to the Twins in terms of where they're at in kind of the cycle. Yeah.
And they never make the playoffs.
They've had plenty of rebuilds. They have a really good farm system right now. All the stuff that the Twins say as a means to kind of get people to calm down on the part of wanting them to sign guys or trade for guys, the Padres can say all that same stuff, which is we weren't that good last year. We haven't been that good for a decade. We're building for the future. They have, I think, probably the best farm system in baseball. And yet they still go out there and sign Manny Machado. It's not always great. They also went out and signed Eric Hosmer, which I think was a mistake. But the Machado thing, I feel like people have got such an odd glimpse into the perception of him last playoffs when he didn't hustle on a couple plays and there was a couple controversies. But this is a guy who, aside from blowing on his knee once, he plays 160 games a year. He plays shortstop. He plays third base. He's one of the best overall all-around offense-defense players in baseball, and he's 26. So if you're going to sign somebody to a 10-year deal, you want it to be a 26-year-old, which I think a lot of people hear about an 8- or a 10-year deal, and they go, oh, my God, those never work out. Well, they never work out because they're signed. Albert Pujols signs him when he's 31.
Or, this is some hardcore baseball stuff right here.
But if you're going to give someone $300 million, I think, prefer to give that sort of deal to Machado slightly over Bryce Harper just because Bryce Harper has to be an MVP hitter, whereas Machado can contribute.
Padres fan line with Steve Garvey continues after this.
Yeah.
So forget the Padres fan line.
You don't want
to
break down the rotation?
Part of the equation, okay?
Okay.
How I want to, and you touched on it a little bit, but I would like you to elaborate.
Yeah, you want more crankiness towards the Twins? Is that what you're hoping for?
I just want you to be you.
Okay.
Because you're titillating.
Okay.
And you're stimulating. He's Aaron Gleeman, AaronGleeman.com, at Aaron Gleeman via Twitter, the most elite baseball mind from whom you ever will hear in this market. And he's the editor-in-chief of Baseball Prospectus. Should this Machado to the Padres deal bug Twins fans?
I don't think Machado specifically, because the Twins were never going to be involved in that whatsoever, but I think the idea of you have to wait until every possible circumstance is 100% correct before you try to make a big move or you try to make a big splash. I think being sold that year after year and decade after decade and then seeing teams like the Padres or various other teams go out and make big splashes, whether it works out or not, I think that should bug Twins fans. Because the idea that because we only think if you're the Twins front office, they keep basically telling Twins fans, look, we don't know what we're going to get from some of these young players. We think this is a decent team, but not a great team. Well, we can't make any big moves until we know with 100% confidence that this is a great team.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's going to happen.
Or all the youngsters can get good around Dallas Keuchel and we can all grow together.
Of course. This idea that you can only add big players when it's already a great team assumes that, A, it's ever going to be a great team, which we've been waiting now since 1991 for that for the Twins, and it hasn't really arrived.
Think we haven't.
And B, you're signing Manny Machado or even someone like Dallas Keuchel or whoever to a multi-year contract, and yes, that carries some risk, but the Twins don't even really max out their payroll as is.
Yeah.
If you would have added a $30 million salary to their current payroll, their payroll would be like 135 right now. It was 128 last year. 135 would still be below the major league average.
Yeah.
So this whole idea of, oh, they don't want to get stuck with this contract, well, what's the alternative that the Twins have shown a willingness to do is just not spend $30 million anyway. So wouldn't you? It's odd that baseball, being the one sport without a hard salary cap, is also the one sport where fans and media seem so obsessed with budgeting and long-term commitments and all that stuff. It'd be one thing if we were just talking about Kirk Cousins last segment. The fact that he makes X amount of dollars means the Vikings don't have the same amount to spend elsewhere.
Yeah, that was splashy.
That's not the case in baseball. You could hand out a $30 million a year contract to Manny Machado, and technically you could go hand out a $35 million contract to Bryce Harper, which, by the way, I think the Padres might be trying to do a little bit behind the scenes. I think it was a Ken Rosenthal report yesterday.
That's the 28th media market just showing off.
Well, I think some of these teams, the Brewers, who made some big splashes last offseason when nobody expected them to and have been active again this offseason, and now the Padres, I think they're looking around at this free agent market that we've seen the last two offseasons where teams like the Twins and even some big market teams just are refusing to be engaged and refusing to spend. And the teams that are willing to spend are going, well, we can pick up guys that would never have thought to come here for lower prices than would be their sort of max markets.
Right.
Why not try to pounce on it now?
The Padres, the fan has learned the Padres are never good, aren't a major market. I mean, seriously, what about us? I mean, it's can't we just splash with a Dallas Keuchel signing? I'm not negative on a Dallas Keuchel signing, are you?
Well, what would be your point at which you say no thanks in terms of dollars and years? I think that's the big question with him.
Years would be five.
He's 31-ish, right? 32?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah, 31, 32.
So I'm 4-ish with him.
Okay.
I don't know, 4 and 80?
Yeah, I think that might get it done at this point.
Nice job, Mr. Levine.
4 and 80, and we're still spending less than we spent last year. And I mean, I know specifically with Nordo, but maybe with you, not having the opportunity to root for super special Marty Perez. I mean, he may get bumped from the bit, but that's something with which we have to deal.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, Manny Machado bumped somebody from the third base or shortstop depth chart in San Diego.
Let's just call Keuchel's people. Have the Vikings quarterback tweet about it and say 4 and 80.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
Yeah, that'll be something that Cousins can accomplish via Twitter. I think that would probably get it done. I think the worry with Keuchel is age. He's not quite a true number one starter, but he would be probably the Twins' second best starter.
He was my least favorite Astros starter last year.
Yeah, that's true. The Astros had a very scary rotation. Yeah. And they have some guys who are jumping into it now from the minor leagues who potentially could make it even scarier.
Of course they do.
But yeah, I mean, you talk Keuchel, you talk Craig Kimbrell, even someone like Gio Gonzalez. We're not talking Bryce Harper here. And the unwillingness to go after that until the circumstances are 100% correct is odd to me, because let's be honest here. What are the chances, let's say 3 years from now, if the Twins have won a division title and look to be set up for the future? Royce Lewis is great. Kirilov's great. Yep. Maybe Buxton's their all-star center fielder. What are the chances at that point that they go, you know what? Remember a couple years ago when we were saying, just wait, we're going to spend, just wait. Well, they're not going to drop $200 million on anybody then. It'll be, oh, we want to fill in the gaps. You know.
And 3 years from now, Keuchel's the fifth starter at the end of his career, and he's an elite fifth starter.
Right. I think that it's so, and maybe I'm guilty of this too in the past, because, you know, analytics writers and websites, they look at, you know, production versus dollar spent.
Super special Pakoda.
And all that stuff. But I think we've gotten to a point where you'll see fans going like, oh, I'm so glad my team didn't sign Manny Machado. Yeah. Why? How does that $30 million a year affect you even one bit?
All right.
If the Twins had signed Manny Machado, you'd have one of the best players in baseball on your team.
Yeah.
The team would be significantly better for this year and at least the next five,
don't
6
have to worry about Sano's heel.
Maybe 10 years. All kinds of stuff. I mean, the depth chart gets added. You're adding like an MVP caliber player.
Yeah.
But the concern is always, well, what would they do in year 7 when they owe him $30 million?
Couldn't care less.
How they're going to pay him.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what the revenue will be at that point. Do you think 7 years from now the Pollett family is going to be going, ooh, we're going to have to sell some of our other businesses to put in Manny? No, we've gone 180 degrees to the point where analysis of production versus dollars, which I think at one point was very relevant, has become a way for fans and then media and then teams themselves to be like, well, we can't sign anybody good. That would screw us up in the future. Well, how many years do we have to wait for that?
Miko Manny Machado?
Well, and getting into that, because just prior to this news coming out that Manny signed yesterday, there were grumblings, I mean, for the last few weeks with players. But then you started to hear kind of, you know, that the collusion word was dropped in a couple of reports, or at least the idea that teams were so reticent to dropping these 10-year, $300 million-plus contracts that not even necessarily if it was collusion, but out of the fact that they can't battle, whether it's CBA related, Players Association related, they're just like, we're not going to do it. We want shorter contracts, you know, kind of like what the White Sox were trying to do with like that 8-year deal and a couple of options. Did you buy into that at all? That teams overall, kind of to your point, are really having trouble valuing these long-term deals that seem like they're no-brainers.
Yes, I think teams have gotten better or at least more precise about how to figure how a guy's going to age and all the stuff we just talked about with figuring, you know, wins above replacement per dollar spent. All that stuff has been sort of hammered out by the big brains in front offices to this point. And so as you get more precise with that, you're less likely to want to sign a 32-year-old to a four-year deal like we were talking about with Dallas Keuchel. But the problem is that money has to go somewhere, or it's just being pocketed by ownership. So it's fine to say, oh, I don't want to be handing out these 8 or 10 or even 5-year deals to 30-something-year-old players. It doesn't make any sense analytically. But then the problem is, well, if you're not spending it on younger players or other players or trades, well, then it's not being spent at all. And I think I'm not 100% sure that's collusion, certainly, but I think a lot of it is what I just said in terms of how they're valuing older free agents and then not replacing that with spending on younger players. And the biggest thing is, and the Twins are guilty of this, a third of the teams just aren't doing anything. And so when you only have 18 potential bidders for all free agents,
yep,
instead of 25 or even 30, and even the teams like the Yankees are like, well, we don't want to go over this luxury tax, which is a self-imposed thing, basically a salary cap. Well, then on the high side, guys like Harper and Machado are somewhat capped. They're still going to get paid. They'll get their $300 million.
Yep.
But that's what leads to guys like Keuchel or guys like Kimbrel. It'll be, you know, March 1st, and those guys will still be looking for contracts that they would have gotten 5 years ago with no problem.
Does the Twins bottom line bug you? Are Falvey and Levine scared to piss off the owners?
I don't know. I think I have a lot of confidence from talking to them and knowing some of the people they've hired and seeing just a glimpse behind the scenes of what they're working on and what they're installing. They're doing a ton of really good things from coaching, development, analytics, all that stuff. But if you're going to spend $105 million on a baseball team's payroll in 2019, you're leaving a lot of effort there on the table in terms of actually trying to put the best possible product. So, you know, and I know there's a certain segment out there who just, they want to stick up for the billionaires, and if it's carrying water or whatever you want to say, and it's like, well, I'm glad we didn't sign this guy because that would have cost too much money 5 years down the road. I think, how has that worked out for the Twins, that mentality? It hasn't worked out at all, certainly recently. And so I would like to have seen, nobody's expecting them to sign Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, but the idea that, you know, like you mentioned, Martin Perez was their big free agent pitching splash.
Aren't you excited to watch him pitch?
I think the lineup's pretty good. And, you know, when they signed Nelson Cruz 6 weeks ago, I was in here. We were excited about it.
Loved it.
Lineup looks good. Let's see what they do on the pitching side. And then it's just cricket since then.
Yeah.
And I think that, to me, is the frustrating part.
How's Bonus enjoying Fort Myers?
Oh, I'm so annoyed. He sends me texts of just like the temperature or the weather app on his phone of Fort Myers. Or he's just, you know, shooting pictures of the sun. He's walking around. He's eating ribs in the ballpark. It's like, and I'm sitting here saying, oh, yeah, I literally had to Uber to the studio because I was afraid I'd be in a ditch somewhere on 94.
Yeah.
But, you know what he's not doing with those things, though?
What?
He's not tweeting a lot of that.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Right.
That's keeping the walkers at bay.
Yeah.
He's getting after you, one of his closely held confidants.
Yeah.
He's not putting that stuff out on the narrowcaster.
As one of the guys. He's being one of the guys via text.
Yeah, so you're saying not Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, he needs to stop tweeting.
Start some text chains. You can start some text chains instead of Twitter. Get a few friends together.
Oh,
you start tweeting them. You can rip on other people. You can post all kinds of pictures. You can show as many private jet flights as you want.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe don't show I like that, the White Walkers. I'm going to start stealing them.
Is everybody in Fort Myers happy and hopeful?
I think they're reasonably hopeful. I think the hard thing that I'm having a tough time separating is all the stuff we just talked about with payroll and the lack of action by the Twins on the pitching front. It's all a buzzkill. It's all a downer. And it all makes you kind of be frustrated by what things are this offseason. And yet at the same time, I do think this is a pretty decent team, and I think if things go well with a lot of the young hitters, especially, this can be a kind of quasi-contender 84, 85 win, maybe make a wild card run.
Yep.
If Cleveland has a rough season or has some injuries and slips back to the pack in the Central, you maybe have an outside chance to make a run there. And so it's hard to separate the frustrating aspects with the optimistic aspects, although part of me thinks that it's even more frustrating their lack of action on the pitching front when the team as currently constructed on paper is pretty decent. Then most of me wants to say, well, if you have a decent team and you got $105 million payroll, couldn't you easily provide a bump here or a bump there at $125 million? And I think that's the frustrating part. But this is a decent team, and I do think, you know, hearing from Bonus and everyone else in Fort Myers, there is optimism if Sano and Buxton can get right, although now Sano's already injured.
Aaron Gleiman, Mr. Big Chest, working for Guaranteed Money. He's in studio 9 to noon. There is a reason there are tears dropping the eyes of the techie, and he's lonely. We will explain what that means next.
You're listening to PA.
So I see Paul, and of course, sure. You know, my heart melts, and everything, every other part of me melts.
Right.
On the Fan.
Listen to the Fan this Thursday at 7:20 a.m. That's tomorrow at 7:20 because you're going to hear on the Power Trip a major concert announcement. Tomorrow, 7:20 a.m. Twin Cities Summer Jam hits Canterbury Park July 18th, 19th, and 20th. And by listening tomorrow at 7:20 a.m., you get the artist lineup and on-sale info. Tomorrow, 7:20 a.m., that's the Power Trip Morning Show. Twin Cities Summer Jam, the three-day music festival, where rock, pop, and country come together in our own backyard.
Nine to noon.
Got much else to say.
You all right?
Yeah.
I know you missed the NBA badly.
Thinking about how I'm going to get home, but yeah, I'm all right.
I mean, you couldn't care less about college basketball.
No, I've made the decision all college sports like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I went for 30 years, I was so into every sport, basically. Yeah. And then like 3 years ago, I realized I think my brain is like getting old man brain where it's like shrinking a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just don't have the room for it. If I'm going to, you know, be a complete NBA and baseball Bobo, mm-hmm. you got to cut some corners somewhere.
So Duke and North Carolina, it's a big, big spot game tonight.
Yeah.
It's on KFAM Plus, Nordo's second favorite station, 96.7 on the FM dial.
That's right.
You couldn't care less about Duke and UNC, right?
I might watch that, though.
Really?
I mean, do a little Zion Williamson scouting.
There you go.
I mean, if the Wolves get that 2% chance to land him, I want to know if he's any good or not.
Yeah. Former President Obama might be in attendance. So there'll be some camera angles of number 44.
Yeah.
I mean, Jay-Z might be there tonight. It's the star-studded affair at Cameron Indoor.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically pro basketball at some point. I mean, half those guys are going to be in the NBA anyway.
How, you're not going to watch the NHL on NBC Sports Network.
No, correct.
You are not going to watch Hawaii at BYU in college basketball.
No.
The NBA is concluding its All-Star break today.
Yeah.
With teams playing tomorrow. How lonely has it been for
it's
you
tough.
Since the All-Star game with no Sacramento Kings, LA Clippers, LA Lakers, Phoenix Suns, whatever West Coast basketball with which you will go to bed.
Yeah, whatever horrible 131-128 game between lottery teams are on at 11:30 at night that I obsessively watch. I mean, it's tough. I had to like do work last night, like instead of just watching TV. It's terrible. You like have to perform better at your job and stuff.
Yeah.
It's rough, but yeah,
perform better with your beloved BJ.
She left town. She got out here right before the weather hit.
Lucky
work trip. Yeah, she did that last time. It was a blizzard too. She has an amazing ability to hop on a plane right before it's about to have 10 inches of snow.
Today, by the way, Nordo. Today was supposed to be the Fanball posterizer day.
Yeah.
Nordo and I jonesing for some hot hardwood action.
Via Fanball.com.
Fanball.com is a little $5 deal, like $1,000 prize pool, maybe $800. You know, we put our lineups together, and that's an every Wednesday thing.
I've slowly improved my progress as a guy that knows the least of the three of us from third to last out of the entire field. Now I'm midstream. Yeah. I'm in the high 70s.
First one he played out of 179 people in the posterizer, he ran 176th because he put his thing together. And then at the end, he didn't have requisite cash for like anybody good, so he used Ed Davis for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah,
generated like 3.75 points.
There was some Terrence Ross.
He saw a big lefty off the bat.
And then I touted him on Orlando Super Sub Terrence Ross, who's been good.
Yeah,
and he's going to get paid in the offseason. But of course, the time I touted him. Shoots 2 of 16, like 11.75 fan ball points.
Is there a bounty on your head or Nordo's head in that league? Like if you finish above
Niet.
PA,
Niet.
I feel like you could add that. Talk to Charge.
Not a bad idea. My sources tell me, Nordo, there may be There may be a posterizer tomorrow.
Oh, let's do the damn thing. NBA's back, baby. Yeah.
Fanball.com. I think that's going to be tomorrow. So, Nordo, by the way, a week ago, was courtside for the victory over the Rockets.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I have all sorts of thoughts on that. First of all, I love that you could see him on TV.
Yeah.
And so
I love that he was courtside and Devin Dubnyk was in the second row.
Yeah, well, stars get courtside.
Yeah, it's like Nordo has an above-ground pool.
Yeah.
The Dubnyks swim at the Minneapolis Y.
Make a few more saves. Maybe you'll get courtside seats.
Nordo goes to Mastros. The Dubnyks go to McDonald's.
Don't get beat glove side.
Yeah, don't get beat glove side. And you could be right next to the Beard and Doris Burke.
I also liked the photo with Doris Burke was good. Because you were sitting with our guy Durkee took you, right?
That is right.
Best hair in the business, by the way.
You know Durkee?
Yeah.
Sweet.
He's got Mr. Soccer, hair on him.
Great hair.
Yeah.
But I also liked how Nordo was on FSN for like 2 hours, basically. Just constantly could look at him. But then would like tweet out like every half hour or so just to basically say, did I remind you guys? I'm courtside.
I was full Rube. I couldn't help myself.
I'd do the same thing.
If Kirk Cousins tweeted the way you tweeted from that game.
That's true. Yeah.
The savagery in the mentions. The first one would be, great, you have everything. And now you're courtside to see the Rockets. Any chance you can shift over to the NBA?
Correct.
I mean, it would just be so mean-spirited.
Maybe the Wolves can take your expiring contract in 2 years. Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, 9 to noon, implored Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins to stop tweeting. I know it's his personal account. I know he can do what he wants. And I also am guessing, from an awareness standpoint, Cousins and or his people will look at the mentions.
Right.
Where the majority of them are, they're mean-spirited.
Well, I'm like,
why do you need to do this and or see this?
While I was listening to that segment where you guys were talking about that, I thought, is it possible that he's got his Twitter set up in such a way that he only sees mentions from people he follows or from verified people?
Oh, you can do that?
Yeah, and so like he's just unaware of the White Walker aspect.
Oh, wait a second. You can do that?
Yeah. Well, you got to get that verified checkmark, PA.
Come on.
And you can do whatever you want.
No, I don't feel like applying.
It's like behind the scenes. It's like Kevin Bottle Service at the club. They'll do whatever you want.
What happens with Bottle Service at the club, AG?
They bring you a bottle and they charge you like $10 million for it, and then you go home and you say, why did I pay $900 for a Kettle One?
You ever make it rain with beloved BJ?
I mean, you know me, driving the Honda Fit, Ubering when it's bad out, making it rain.
When the techie makes it rain with his girlfriend, beloved BJ, instead of money, he's throwing baseball cards in the air.
Well, it's when he gets twice as many fortune cookies from Szechuan Spice.
Oh, yeah.
That's making it rain.
That's when I go, instead of white rice, I go, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. Give me that fried rice.
Oh. God, is that nice. I want Derrick Rose on the Wolves next season.
Yeah, but how's that going
to
happen?
I want Derrick Rose on the Wolves next season. Well, somebody needs to offer Super Special Tyus a fat deal.
Right.
Which I have intel. I believe that's going to happen from an Eastern Conference team.
You think somebody's going to offer him like a solid backup deal or like starter money? Somewhere in between, maybe? Backup plus?
Great question, because I am not contractually sound via Hoops Hype on how much money a specific starter is owed and for how long. But I have intel there's a certain team infatuated with Tyus and not very infatuated with their starter. So let's say that happens.
Okay.
So I'd like Derrick Rose to be on the team next season. Do you think it's an impossibility?
I mean, even if Tyus goes, and if I were a GM of some team that was looking for a point guard, I think I would look for Tyus. I mean, he's solid. He's young. I think he has the potential to be better
with
more
cares.
Playing time. But even if Tyus leaves, the Wolves are still capped out. And so they can overspend a little bit to re-sign Rose, but they don't have his full bird rights. Like, they don't have the rights to just go nuts with him. And so if some team's going to offer him a two-year deal.
So we're capped out?
Well, I mean.
The Vikings are capped out. The Wild. I mean, seriously.
And the
Wild are capped out. And the Twins have more money than anybody and won't spend it.
Yeah, the Twins have literally, there's no cap in their sport. And they're like, well, we're capped out.
Oh, my God, with what's happening.
But, I mean, if a team comes to Rose and says, we'll give you a two-year deal at, you know, $13 million a year or something like that.
We can't match.
Right. And so maybe the injuries and the lack of consistent, you know, being on the court this year will decrease his market a little bit so that the Wolves could be in the mix. But I feel like, I mean, between Wiggins and Towns and Gorgie and some of the other deals, and I know they have a couple coming off the books, Taj, but I feel like they don't really have the ability to offer a ton.
You mentioned that bid Zion Williamson on the plus this evening against USC, KFAM plus 96.7. For the Timberwolves, out of the break, at Knicks, at Milwaukee, it's a back-to-back. Sacramento here, then at Atlanta. Can't lose to the Knicks.
Right.
Okay? They're not trying. I mean, there was a game the other night with the Knicks at Atlanta. With both teams, I'm not saying that they're purposely trying to lose.
Right.
But it's not in their best interest to win.
They won't be upset if they lose.
Right. Like the Knickerbockers have like 11 wins. Atlanta has like 19. So Atlanta's pretty much dead on the Zion bit unless it gets lucky in the lottery. So you can't lose to the Knicks, a team that's not trying to win.
Right. Although, as we've seen this year, that hasn't always meant much when it comes to the Wolves.
Yeah.
They've dropped a couple of super... I mean, they dropped one to Atlanta, right? They dropped one to Phoenix.
Yes.
There's been several games that they've dropped where, like you said, the opponent is not particularly interested one way or another in coming out of there with a victory.
Off that, seriously speaking, the tank jobs by the Knicks, Suns, and Cavs right now, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I saw, you said Atlanta Knicks, which yes, but I also saw, maybe it was like a week ago, it was Cavs Knicks, and it was like high scoring, but no one, it had a vibe of like a slightly less defensive all-star game.
It was nothing but Mark Madsen shooting corner threes at the end of the game.
The whole vibe was like, I might as well try this. Why not?
Phoenix is at Cleveland, I believe, tomorrow night. Wow.
Yeah, I bet it's high scoring.
Yeah.
They're not. They're
if you're
not
in the
always,
702, capitalize on the tanking.
But it's funny that the NBA flattened out all the lottery odds because tanking has gotten so bad the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And they were hoping that, well, if it's only a 14% chance to get the first pick instead of a 20-something percent chance, maybe the teams will stop tanking. But you're always, if you're a bad team, you're always going to look and say, are we better off winning this meaningless game, or are we better off even a tiny amount increasing our odds to land a player who could change us? And I don't think you're ever going to be able to get away from tanking, because the NBA, I think,
depends more on the market.
I guess, but we're talking about New York, though.
Right. Like, that's why I say it depends on the market. Now, yours truly, with YS, Young Samuel, with the Vikings PR department, we kind of had a bit last year on our Vikings road schedule. Started 2 years ago, where we would see, because we like the NBA, and we would see if an NBA team was playing the Saturday night before our game.
I remember,
So 2 seasons ago, we went and watched B.I. and the Lakers at Charlotte before the Vikings lost to the Panthers. Last year, we went to United Center to see the Bulls. We went to Madison Square Garden to see the Knickerbockers. And even the Bulls, this was right before Hoiberg got fired. Nobody playing. Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, they're all out. We went to see the Knicks. Obviously, no unicorn.
Right.
Celtics are in town. But the intel we received is specifically with Chicago and New York, no matter how good or bad the teams are, it is such the thing to do to go to United Center or Madison Square Garden. You can be an 11-win team or a 70-win team.
Right, it'll sell out no matter what.
It's going to sell out.
Right, and they have such a huge population that even if 50% of the people who might buy tickets say, I'm going to take 2 years off, you still have a huge amount of people.
Yeah.
I think that's,
If the Knickerbockers get the Zion Williamson bit, and a combo of either Kevin Durant, Claymaker, Kyrie, or maybe Jimmy, look out.
Yeah.
That's the long play.
Yes.
Well, they need Dolan just to sell the team, and then everything can really lift off.
That's the thing. Like,
they're going to get the Duke kid, then they're going to get two of those four or five I just named.
Right. Although, how many years? I think there's a decent chance of that, but, and I think Durant especially, I think there's a very good chance of that. But how many off seasons over the last 15 years have they gone into it saying, ooh, we're gonna be a real attractive destination for this top free agent who wants to play in the Big Apple?
It's New York City.
But how often has that actually happened?
I don't know.
Very, very rare, I think.
Yeah. Well, they went through the stretch. What, it was Amari, right? I mean, that was the last time that they made that big push. Amari on the backside of his days with Nash in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
They got to the playoffs, but ultimately they kind of just filtered out, and now here they are again. I mean, I just think as long as Dolan's in charge with the volatility in that organization, that ultimately whatever they try to do is going to fall short until he's no longer the face of that team.
And maybe if you're as good as Kevin Durant, you say, I'll go there and it'll be a playoff team, in the same way that LeBron goes somewhere and if he stays healthy, it's a playoff team.
Yeah.
But the other problem is New York is great. I would love to live and play in New York and be a superstar in New York.
Same.
But it's probably not that great if you go there and the team stinks. Philadelphia might be the only worst place that you could possibly go in terms of getting booed and people hating you and, you know, talk radio being negative. Yeah. And so,
well, that's if you're like the Vikings quarterback and you're tweeting and reading your mentions.
True.
But if you're not, then you can thoroughly enjoy it.
But if you're a big-time free agent, and even if they land Zion or somebody else, because there's three or four really good players, it sounds like, for the draft.
Really?
You say, yeah, I want to play for the Knicks. I want to be a superstar in New York. I want to live in New York, in theory. But if it's going to take two, 3 more years to get this to be a decent team, do I want to put up with the New York Post, you know, making fun of me for 4 months out of the year?
Yeah.
Or do I just want to go sign with another team for a bunch of money in a nice city and actually make the playoffs and not have to worry about the fact that the team continuing to be a mess? Because as Norio said, it's a mess from the top down, as opposed to, it's not a coaching issue or a player issue. It's just a mess of an organization.
Your kindness and fellowship for amplifying 9 to noon today is greatly appreciated. You are a scholar, you are a gentleman, and you are a connoisseur of quality Manischewitz. And for all of that, we love you.
Please pray for me on my way back to Northeast.
You're listening to PA.
The King in the North! The King in the North!
On the Fan.
Don't go hungry during this awful weather. Stop by a Quick Trip right now and get proper nourishment. In fact, today only, $1.29 for a Kitchen Cravings Cheese Mountain Pizza Slice. Get three. Run that thing up to around $5. 3 pieces of Kitchen Cravings Cheese Mountain Pizza Slice at $1.29 each. That is a today only special. If you have not had the Kitchen Cravings Cheese Mountain Pizza Slices, they are absolutely fantastic. Why wouldn't they be? They're from Quick Trip, where everything is fresh and everything is good. QuickTrip.com to get more information on that. Now, if you need some fuel and you haven't done this, sign up for Quick Trip's Quick Reward Card. New members receive 10 cents off per gallon of fuel on your first fill-up, up to 30 gallons. So you run that thing up at $2 and change, and then all of a sudden you save a fair amount of money because you just joined Quick Trip's Quick Reward Card program. QuickTrip.com.
KFAN, total traffic.
From the Holiday Station Stores Traffic Center, let's check our metro area roadway. Still plenty going on across the area because of the storm that's coming through under a winter storm warning until 6 tonight. Crews are on the right shoulder, blocking off that area. Eastbound 94 because of a crash near Maple Grove Parkway. Watch for delays to begin near County Road 81. They also have the left lane blocked off because of a crash. Northbound Cedar right near Cliff. Slowdowns begin right near 35E. That's traffic on the Fan. It's sponsored by Farmers Insurance.
From a dog accidentally flooding a living room to a dog taking a joyride, we've covered it. Talk to Farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Check out Garage.
Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Check.
Save the date for the inaugural Mike Zimmer Golf Classic. It's on May 13th. Probably a sunnier, warmer day than we're experiencing today. May 13th, inaugural Mike Zimmer Golf Classic. It's at Bear Path Golf and Country Club. Former and current Vikings, local celebrities, they're teaming up with partners and sponsors for a day of golf, and it's fun and prizes. Hole-in-one, longest drive, closest to the pin contest, and all proceeds benefit the Mike Zimmer Foundation Outreach Program. More details, KFAN.com, keyword community.
Hold on to your butt.
We wanna play it for you.
Yeah!
You see, we want to be.
Berkbit joins this fantastic voyage known as 9 to Noon at FM 100.3 KFAN in the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios about 35 minutes from now. But first, football and a daily series we do called 1818.
leading you up to the 2019 NFL Combine. 9 to noon takes 18 looks at pick 18.
We certainly do, and thus far I've identified 9 different names, whether it was Cody Ford, Juwan Taylor, Chris Lindstrom, the Wisconsin kids, a three-pack of them, Greg Little, Dalton Risner, Andre Dillard. I kind of want to take a different approach today.
Is Dillard Washington State?
Washington State, yes.
Yeah, the names you're presenting, I'm doing a fair amount of reading on them, and I think you've done a really good job identifying legitimate candidates for the 18 for pick 18. And the Washington State tackle slash guard, that guy's very, very intriguing to me. So anyway, good job.
No, I appreciate that. But I want to take a different angle today. I'm not giving you a specific player. What I'm doing is thoughts with the 18th overall pick. Because in this draft, as the Minnesota Vikings are trying to identify the next great member of the Minnesota Moving Company, there are a lot of teams in this draft, especially trying to get into the top half of that draft, that are looking at some of the big edge rushers. You know, starting at the top from Nick Bosa to Josh Allen, you have Quinnen Williams, the deep tackle from Alabama, Clelin Ferrell. I mean, the list goes on with the number of guys that are going to affect via the pass rush and getting after the quarterback in 2019 and beyond.
Okay.
And so what I'm looking at with the Minnesota Vikings, edge rushers in the first round, we want an O-lineman. That's my opinion at least. But as of now, the Minnesota Vikings, PA, because of the, I believe it was Brett Jones and it was Brock, let me see, we lost a couple of picks is what I'm getting at. So right now, minus a couple of compensatory picks that might jump in, we have our first, our second, our third, our fourth, and a sixth pick. So that's 5 of our standard picks that we have as of this moment. And I'm thinking about Rick Spielman, who likes currency, who likes getting bodies in the building to work, get better, see what we have, practice squad, see you later, or maybe they're the next undrafted special team superstar. So, edge rushers are rich. The teams out there want to identify and get their guy. There's going to be, according to all the mocks out there at this time of the year in February, there's going to be a big run on them early on. So I want to identify a team that needs defensive help, that they need a superstar. And I want to identify a team that has currency. The Vikings could certainly trade up and get their guy, PA, but what if they trade back?
Oh, my gosh. Above average.
Trading back is more realistic. It's the Spielman way.
It's the Spielman way. So looking at trading back, I'm trying to figure out teams. Currency, needs defensive help. May have lost one of the best linebackers in the NFL via trade. Has currency. Oh, is it the Oakland Raiders? Okay. So the Oakland Raiders, PA, they have second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks. They're good in that area. But they have 3 first round picks. They'll be picking 4th overall really early on, get their guy. But then they have these pesky 24th and 27th overall picks.
Yeah.
They want an edge rusher. Maybe they want a linebacker. There's a lot of big names out there. Devin Bush, if you've heard of him, the linebacker at Michigan. Devin White, the linebacker at LSU. What about Montez Sweat? If he's going to go like 20th and they don't pick till 24th, edge rusher Mississippi State, or Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, big bodies from Clemson. These guys are expected to go early on in the first round, mid-round maybe, and from 4th to 24th, 27th, the Raiders might miss out on those guys. So for today, I'm projecting a trade back via the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
So I'm using a couple examples here. For instance, last year, PA, the Baltimore Ravens were able to move from 16th to 22nd overall with the Bills.
Yeah.
And they flipped their 5th rounder into a 3rd round pick.
So that's where the Bills went to get Josh Allen, right?
The Bills got Josh Allen 7th. I think they moved back, and I forget what else they were able to do with that pick.
Okay.
But anyway, they flipped their 5th into a 3rd, simply moving back 6 spots. I look a year prior to that. Atlanta Falcons, runners-up in the Super Bowl, were picking 31st. They moved up to 26th. And they were able, with the Seahawks, and they had to give up a 3rd rounder and a 7th rounder to the Seahawks just to move up 5 spots in the first round.
I'm liking this a lot.
So what I'm looking at here, a trade with the Raiders.
Yeah.
The Vikings move back from 18th to 27th.
Yeah.
The Raiders give them a 3rd round pick. The Vikings, Let's say maybe they have to surrender their six. So they turn their third rounder or their sixth rounder into a third rounder. The Raiders get Devin Bush or Ja'Kai Polite or Montez Sweat, somebody to help that awful defense. The Minnesota Vikings move up, and with the 27th overall pick, they select Chris Lindstrom, guard, Boston College.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
I can't say I'm negative on that. I've heard his name, but I don't know anything about him.
It could be Juwan Taylor. It could be Dalton Risner. It could be Andre Diller.
So I think your long play here is in a draft that lacks a Quentin Nelson.
Yes.
There may be a bevy or a handful of players who can help. So why take one at 18 or move up to get one when you can slide back into somebody's DMs? You can improve your draft equity and you can get somebody who can play right now. Get somebody who can play right now. Maybe right guard. I mean, let's say that they're your guy, Dr. David Chow.
Yeah, yeah.
Who speculates on Twitter for profit.
Football doc.
Right. And he speculated on something with Xavier Rhodes in the season. Was completely wrong, but it doesn't mean he's always completely wrong.
He's mostly right. He was way off with Xavier.
Right. But he had something of late about Vikings guard Nick Easton. Where it was, how would he know he's outside of the building, but say he's right. And actually, I think he may be right. That Nick may be 100%-ish for the offseason and up to training camp.
Whoa!
This is not making Nick Easton sound like a combo of Randall McDaniel, Marshall Yanda, and or Steve Hutchinson. But for what the Vikings do, Nick helps.
Felt like we missed him in 2018.
And if anything, he can provide depth.
Yes.
So then maybe we can cut back one number on the amount of offensive linemen we need. So maybe, in truth, we are searching for one full-time employee to the Minnesota Moving Company, maybe two, but definitely some part-timers, which means moving back and amassing rock star equity by sliding into somebody's DMs. Let's go. I like your approach.
Well, the thing for me with these offensive linemen, too, is all the intel. There are no, as you mentioned, Quentin Nelsons. So some love Cody Ford the most. Some love, I think it's Jonah Williams out of Alabama. We haven't gotten to his name yet. He's a guy that trends early. But when you talk about Greg Little and Dalton Risner and Andre Dillard, as I've mentioned, and Juwan Taylor and these guys, and Chris Lindstrom, a guard that I really like, you're seeing them go anywhere from 10th in the draft to day two. So there's no consensus on this right now, and this will work itself out, and maybe ultimately 18th is the spot for which the Vikings can pick. But if you're able to move nine spots back in the draft, you get a third-round pick from Oakland. Oakland, so destitute right now defensively, they might want that Byron Murphy, the cornerback out of Washington, DeAndre Baker, the corner out of Georgia. They have so many needs defensively. Maybe some offensively as well. Maybe it's DK Metcalf. Who cares about the Raiders? The point is, I want their third-round pick.
Yeah.
Because the earlier in the draft, if we get Andre Dillard in the first round, we're able to double up with an O-lineman in the third. Maybe then it's a wide receiver in the second. Maybe we're finding our next great pass rusher on the interior with a three technique in the draft as well. It's an extra early-round pick, PA.
Maybe Sheldon gets a $50 million deal from some other team. And we either don't want to or can't match it. And then in round two, we take a sneak peek at three technique.
There you go. The flexibility. I'm exhausted with six-round O-linemen. I'm exhausted with Jeff Bacchus and Chris DeGears. I want an extra third-round pick to play around with in the 2019 draft. As of now, because there are no consensus, absolute next Joe Thomas in this particular draft, if we're able to move back, increase currency, which Rick Spielman, if he's listening right now, he's foaming at the mouth at getting an extra third-round pick in his pocket.
Oh, and the opportunity to trade because he's addicted to it.
Exactly. So he might be on the phone with Mr. Gruden and company right now. Yes. I don't know that for sure.
Gets to call Mike Mayock.
Oh, he gets to talk to Mayock.
Talk to Mayock. We can rip off Mayock.
Why not?
I mean, excuse me, we can deal with Mayock.
Come on. So today's 18 at 18 isn't necessarily about a player.
Wait a second. Mayock's daughter, Lee, was a part-timer / intern for the Vikings Radio Network for multiple seasons.
Oh, my God.
We helped jumpstart her career. Now it's time for you to get your swap on with us.
Jumpstart our Super Bowl equity.
Boom!
There we go!
And we'll hire Lee to do Vikings Game Day Live.
So today's look at the 18th overall pick is a sneaky trade back with the Oakland Raiders to secure a third-round pick, still get our guy, and get better in 2019, PA.
How do you like that?
Second half of the radio show includes the Burke Bit 25 minutes from now, FM 100.3. Yeah, I am.
You're listening to PA.
Ben, you would know this more than PA would know.
Hello.
Is the mental part of the game. Up here, it's so mental.
What do you think, I'm dumb?
On the Fan.
Nine to noon. P.A.
I've been down and I'm wondering why these little black clouds keep walking around with me. With me.
Time, 10:40, 9 to noon, News du Nord.
News du Nord.
Brought to you by Canterbury's Card Casino, poker, blackjack, table games. This is actually with this weather. I mean, if you have nowhere to go all day, there'd be no better spot to be sitting at the felt, trying to make money, hopefully not giving it all away, at Canterbury's Card Casino today into the afternoon.
I might do that today. Yeah, we at Canterbury, we have some really cool remodeling that's taking place right now.
Really?
Now, when the racing season opens first weekend in May, it will be unveiled for everybody. But without stepping on the racetrack's touchdown call, we have a restaurant that we are developing.
Ooh.
That will open, I think, within a month, month and a half, something like that, maybe even less. And I will bring you there, okay? We will bring you there to sample the fare.
Perfect.
Maybe you and your wife. It's trust me, you're going to like it. The food's going to be incredibly good, but just a lot of fantastic things happening at your favorite racetrack right now.
Well, in what I'll say to Canterbury Park, based on my last few visits there, you're welcome for contributing to that that new restaurant. Congratulations.
Yeah, they've stuck me the last couple of times, too, on the felt.
There's too much bragging what happened. A year ago this time,
yeah, they got me
I was swimming in it. It was key to the money room. It was everything.
Yep.
Everybody just kind of scattered, and there were tumbleweeds when I walked in because they knew that this was my OK Corral, and I was winning every gunfight.
Yep.
Now it's, no, come on in. Yeah. Oh, yeah, here's an extra summit, sure.
Go to the ATM, put your card in, it says, welcome back, Eric.
Oof, yeah. Well, I'm going to go there again soon because I can't help myself because I love that place.
Well, why don't you and I go today at 3 o'clock?
From Shakopee to Brooklyn Park.
Why the face change? Let's you and I go today at 3 o'clock. In fact, you know what? You've been doing such a good job with 9 to noon and have been such a joy with which to work of late.
Oh, thank you.
That I'd like to bring you to Canterbury at 3 today. We'll play for an hour or hour and a half. I'll buy you in for $300.
Hmm.
Okay, so 12 green chips to start. We'll go to the $25 table. You can sip some beverages of your choice.
Yep.
I'll handle that too. And then you and I just have a nice day on the felt at the racetrack. Are you able to do that?
Managing the mood swings.
What?
That's a face change right there.
Why? Why can't?
I got things to do.
Oh, you got?
Got to go pick up the kids.
Park and ride?
Park and rides.
Okay, I got you.
Living the American dream.
Well, I just changed out of your face with that park and ride comment.
Yeah, and last night, how about these guys?
While we'll clear it all the way down the ice, Ducks don't particularly care.
They set up shot
back behind their net. They're just going to run out the remaining time here.
What about the mud room?
Minnesota's going to have a winless four-game homestand, 0-3-1.
Well, they tried harder last night than they did during Sunday's loss to St. Louis.
Like the Wild, where the hashtag is supposed to be our ice, but it's hashtag everybody else's ice.
Yeah.
At the Canterbury Card Casino, our felt. Hashtag our felt.
Hashtag our felt.
Our felt is what it is, says the Moosey.
Coming for you. It was 1-0 Ducks. The Wild get three power play chances in the third period. Mm-hmm. A lot of handling the puck, a lot of Granlund looking for passing lanes, etc. They don't get paid off. Corey Perry, due to a, I believe it was Mr. Hunt's turnover.
No, the Hunt turnover led to the Kessler goal.
Oh, it did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, Corey Perry rolls on down. His shot's deflected. Doobie whiffs on it. Absolute floater on his glove side. Avalanche ensues for the Anaheim Ducks. 4-0 the final.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one win in 10 games post-break. It's still in a playoff spot, though. Can you believe that right now? The Minnesota Wild, as of this particular minute, are in a postseason spot. They're still in the eighth seed, which means it's time for this.
It's hashtag Faith Radio. Yes,
and you got to have Nordo.
And today's daily NHL scoreboard watching and rooting for teams to lose so the Minnesota Wild make the playoffs update.
We're watching scoreboards right now is what we're doing because we believe in this team, we want this team to win is what I'm getting at. And get into the playoffs. So tonight we have to watch the Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh yeah,
at Detroit. It's a 6:30 pregame, 6:30 puck drop on NBC Sports Network.
Zetterberg, Datsyuk, Schneider. Let's go.
So we need Fedorov and Yzerman to come up big in that one for Detroit.
Yes, sir.
And then at 7:30 p.m., we need the Winnipeg Jets and that smashing power play that the Wild certainly and most teams wish they had.
Scheifele, Liney.
Exactly. We need
Funk.
Big Buff. We need Winnipeg to roll in and beat the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, that can happen.
At 7:30 p.m. If those two things happen, Blackhawks lose on the road and Winnipeg wins on the road over the Avs, the Wild will remain into tomorrow a playoff team.
A road trip for the Minnesota Wild, I believe, is good for many reasons. And the next two teams are beatable, but they're all losable when you're playing the way we're playing. Let's not forget in the Philly and Devils games, we did score a combined 8 goals. So there is a power outage right now of an hour, 56 minutes of hockey. Sans a goal. I understand that. We watch all of the shifts, all of the face-offs, and all of the games.
156 minutes would be 2 hours and 36 minutes of non-scoring activity.
Thank you. 156 minutes. So, with that said, I will do this tomorrow, and it will not be pomp and circumstance, because I do believe getting on the road for the Wild, specifically this group, this quirky group that lacks a prankster jumping in the middle of the room and hiding Suter's phone to watch him tap his pockets, have anxiety for 30 seconds, and be like, where's my phone? Oh, here it is. Then everybody laughs. They will beat the Rangers, and they will beat the Red Wings. If Winnipeg and Detroit win this evening, we will fade the music so it lays there on its own. I will guarantee the Minnesota Wild will hold a playoff spot for a majority of the season. That's if Winnipeg and Detroit win this evening. I will say that on the radio tomorrow. I will mean it. And it will be hashtag faith.
Wow.
Do you care about monthly weather totals?
No, I mean, I'm beaten down by it.
With the snow we started receiving last night around 1 a.m., it's snowing like bleep right now in the cornfields in the Twin Cities. According to Keith Mahler, what's his last name?
Keith Marler.
Thank you,
Keith. Fox 9.
Yep, Keith Marler on Twitter. February of 2019, currently, or as of 10 a.m., with 27.3 inches of snow at Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, the snowiest February in the history of the state.
That's fantastic.
Round of applause for Mother Nature. Don't add her.
No, that's cool. Yeah, the snow and the cold and everything just has absolutely broken most of us over the last month.
What if Mother Nature cracked Twitter right now and was like, hey, I'm going to be kind with fellowship. I'd like to autograph a personalized snowflake.
Or a snow shovel.
Or a snow shovel, or maybe a helmet.
Yeah, free pair of hat and gloves.
Can you imagine if she cracked open her mentions, what she would be seeing right now in this part of the country? Mother Nature and Kirk Cousins need to stop tweeting.
Well, Mother Nature is also very self-aware, so has to be with the jet stream and everything.
Well, Mother Nature...
Mother Nature's not going to tweet.
Mother Nature shapes her own environment. If the pocket collapses, she creates a new one. So she's more powerful and all knowing and doing than our quarterback and everybody else about whom we're talking.
She's the queen of the vortexes.
The pocket never collapses on Mother Nature. Okay? Mother Nature never throws a pass to PJ Williams. Mother Nature does as she pleases. Don't at her.
Close circuit to Alex Stalock, backup goaltender, Minnesota Wild. I'd put a reservation for 10 at Nobu downtown tonight for some sushi.
10? There are 20-some-odd members of the team.
Well, it'll get half, you know, a lot of kids might not want to go out because they're Fortnite-ing it or whatever.
Yeah.
But get as many as you can down to Nobu downtown in NYC and, you know, just have a fake page for Suter at the end of the night. Number 20 will pay the tab.
Alex.
And it'll be really funny, and everyone will love it.
Alexander, take charge of this, okay? Let everybody know on the charter to the NYC that you have booked Nobu what?
Nobu. Sushi, downtown.
You have booked seats for 20-some... How many are on the team? For a team bonding dinner. Everybody have some drinks. Crack some jokes. Hide Suter's phone. Let him experience anxiety for 30 seconds. And then have the concierge, Paige, Ryan Suter, please report to the podium.
Personal phone call.
Ryan Suter, personal phone call at the podium. There goes Suter to the podium. Everybody on the team leaves the table. Suter gets stuck with the bill.
There we go.
See, it's a prank.
Team bonding.
It's team bonding. It's a prank. It's a practical joke. It should be hashtag break the ice, not hashtag our ice. Do it now.
I mean, that's just like putting Greenway's skate in the fridge, right?
Yeah.
Sticking Suter with a $5,000 bill.
Hide Greenway's controller, okay? Hide or glue his R2 button so that it doesn't move, and then have a new controller. So a prank, a practical joke. Break the ice. Flatulence in this restaurant. Whatever. I don't care what it is. Break the ice.
Number two.
I got several bits on a day that feels like it's not newsworthy, but it is. But I got to get to this, though. This kind of blew me away yesterday, and a lot of people in the Minneapolis Metro have commented on it, offered their thoughts. So let's get the host of 9 to Noon, his opinions on it. On Sirius XM yesterday, former head coach Golden Gophers, Jerry Kill, was chatting with Matt Schick and former Packer A.J. Hawk. And was asked about, you know, relationship, P.J. Fleck, now current head coach of the Gophers. And, well, he went in on PJ big time. Here's the first part.
Why doesn't he like you?
You know, it's a thing that, you know, when he got the job, you know, he was talking, you know, first of all, I had him for the first, he coached with me. But after that, you know, he changed a lot. I'll just be honest with you guys. I mean, people that have known him before, when he got with Shiano, and then it just, his personality changed a lot. And I knew his first wife, and he just changed a bunch. And then once he became a head coach, I mean, I helped him get the job at Western Michigan. And I just think sometimes ego gets carried away. And when he went into Minnesota and treated the people the way he treated my guys and telling them he had to go in and completely change the culture, and it was a bad culture and bad people, you know, he made it sound like we didn't know what we were doing. And I took it personal. You just don't treat people that have been with you and helped your career, and you don't even talk to them, you know, once you get the job.
So that's part one of it, and I got another minute on deck here, PA, but you have some interesting elements to this. So clearly he's annoyed that PJ comes in, bravado, culture change, the four pillars of rowing the boat and all of this, RTB on the helmets and all of that. And you have the way that, you know, the culture change is appropriated based on the former regime, which included Jerry Kill, of course.
Yeah, the regime.
Yeah, and it included Tracy Clays. You had nasty sex scandal related thing at the end of Clays' tenure and how he handled it. A lot of people think, and I would tend to agree, he didn't handle it very well.
Okay.
But you have a guy that he, you know, helped him and has that connection back from pre-Michigan, Western Michigan days. You've seen probably some of these quotes out there, and you just heard the audio there.
Yeah.
I mean, this feels a lot like bitter old man just getting after his successor.
I don't know. I can hear that side of it. There's another side of it that it's not, you know, breaking colon, hashtag narrowcasting leader, but there are myriad sides to this. And I want you to replay the audio and let's play it all when Burke comes in studio.
Okay.
And let's let Matthew listen to it, mix in his opinion. I'm not mad at your opinion, but there also is a part of the candor and honesty that I'm really appreciating here. And I don't know Jerry Kill well enough, and I'll share this next segment, to know exactly how his program was run. PJ joins 9 to noon weekly. You hear those interviews, but I'm not so juiced into that program that I know exactly how that program's run. So we truly will come at it like three rubes on the outside, sliding into somebody's mentions.
Okay.
That's around the corner. It's the Burke Pit, 10:55. It's 9 to noon.
Matt Burke. The Burke Bit. It's the Thuggest Ruggers Ball. 9 to noon. P.A. The Burke Bit. Chill, better bring your weapon and step and bring on that ammunition. Just listen. Not to mention, never knew no competition. Matt Burke. So scream my mo and let me hear
ya holler. Not about that mighty dollar rope. Time for two more. The follow tank ain't remaining the same. Flaming my deck and drinking brew. Thinking about that hanging, cutting my back. It doesn't matter. It's the Thuggest Ruggers Ball. It's the Thuggest Ruggers Ball. It's the Thuggest Ruggers Ball.
Before we get to the Thuggish Ruggish Burke and the Burke Bit, do this for me, please. Head on over to KFAN.com's contest page and register for your chance to win tickets to the Fan Zone for you and up to 9 guests at the club box level for boxing at the Armory. It's this Saturday. Get to KFAN.com, keyword contest, for all necessary details.
The Burke Bit.
Human clipping penalty is costing us minutes with the Burke Bit.
Trying to set up Warren Moon?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's happening. What's up, Burke Bit? I see you just ran into the human clipping penalty. Nickname Bella Checkers, because everybody else is playing chess. Human clipping penalty just cost us a couple of seconds with this guy, the Burke Bit. Matt Burke is in studio. Good morning, Matt Burke.
What is going on?
You're the ultimate Minnesotan. I mean, the show today nearly was at Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center, which is 5 minutes from CB, mm-hmm. Casa Burke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, I had intel that due to the weather... Mm-hmm. A big spot press conference. There were supposed to be big spot press conferences at TCO Performance Center today beginning at 1 o'clock.
Really?
Special teams coordinator, into offensive coordinator, into co-head or assistant associate head coach, offensive advisor, Gary Kubiak grad.
Marwan Maloof. My guy.
Maloof is on fire. Wait a second. That's your guy?
That's my guy. He's in Baltimore with me. That's my guy.
Are you kidding?
All right.
Yeah, we just changed the course of the set list.
I got Marwan Maloof intel.
So, good. So, that press conference, those press conferences...
Mañana.
...have been moved to tomorrow.
That's weak.
So, therefore, no need for a 9 to noon to be at TCO Performance Center. Probably won't be there tomorrow for Maloof. Maloof is on fire. So you are the ultimate Minnesotan.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the weather right now is the worst it has been in quite some time. Sideways snow, up to 10 inches expected. It's happening right now. Snowiest February in the history of your favorite state.
Mm-hmm.
How were the roads? How tough was it getting here?
Not tough. I mean, hey, I'm a Minnesotan. I got four-wheel drive. Now, believe me, I drove by a couple people who were stuck. There was one person I could have stopped, but I said, you know, I don't know how these roads are. I got to get going.
But it was a man.
So I can't say that for sure, but I did. I will say I kept going.
Mm-hmm.
I got out here in plenty of time. was taking the turn on the Gamble Drive right here.
Enough time to chat with the human clipping penalty.
There was a damsel in distress. She was a Honda Civic spinning the wheels. I said, all right, flip the U-turn, went over, pushed her out.
Of course you did.
It's because you're a hero.
That's what Minnesotans do.
You stop for the man. You stop for the damsel in distress.
I stopped when it was convenient for me, okay? I said, well, I got somewhere to go. I can't stop. And I'm thinking, well, you always got somewhere to go. If I was stuck, but I just kept going the first time. And then the second time, I said, all right, I got to stop.
Saving lives. You're enriching your own via the Exodus 90.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, it's all good. Yeah, it's all positive I'm with Mr. Burke.
I'm on a journey.
Exodus 90. Oh, no.
Day 32,
well, 58
to go.
Well, that's great, but like why Exodus 90?
Yeah.
Okay, now wait. Damsel in distress. So did damsel jettison distress once you helped?
Yeah, because she got out over the thing, over the bank and kind of onto the road where it was plowed. Yeah. And she goes, thank you. I said, don't stop. You know, you got to, if you're in a Honda Civic, you can't stop. You got to take some chances out there. Like if it's yellow, you just got to go. If it's a little red, you have to go through.
Got to cross your fingers.
Yeah. Because once you stop, then you're rolling the dice.
So was your intel with said damsel in said said distress, was it that the individual was driving a car with two-wheel drive, probably lives in a split level, has a one-car garage.
No mudroom.
Above-ground pool and no mudroom?
I always love that one.
So, therefore, you really, really wanted to help with all that?
No, I saw it.
And, picks up her spouse at the park and ride at 4 o'clock?
She got out, and she was like, kind of like with her foot, trying to like sort of foot wedge the snow away from her tire. I was like, oh man, this gal, she's done.
Good for you.
She's done.
When she saw you, did she say, I can't believe I'm meeting David Dixon?
I always love that one.
Yes. No, she said, oh my gosh.
Didn't know Todd Stussy still lived around here.
It's Chris Hovan. Wow, this is a big thrill for me.
I always love that.
God, it's Chris Claiborne. God, that sack on third down of Brett Favre in that wild card round playoff game, Chris, it changed the entire thing.
Yeah.
Damn, Chris, it's really, really good to meet you. Exodus 90, I forgot about it on multiple levels. A, to do it, and B, that you're doing it, which means we have a problem.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
Because here's what's amazing.
I say Mr. Big Chest, what does that mean?
That doesn't mean anything to me right now.
See?
Oh,
because
my God.
Exodus 90, he's not on Twitter, so he hasn't seen all of the over-the-top Antonio Brown bullcrap. I now want to be called Mr. Big Chest.
Is basically half the stuff we were going to talk to him about.
Here's what's funny. Not on social media. Can't watch TV. Now, I say can't watch. The TV's on sometimes in my house, but I can't sit down and say, hey, I'm going to watch a game or I'm going to turn on KFAN. You can't do it, right?
You still try to catch some AAF games.
You're the people meter problem.
But it's funny how even though I'm not on this stuff, I feel like I bet you I know 80% of everything that's going on.
Right.
I saw Antonio Brown and Dan Rooney. You know, side by side, buddy.
How'd you see that with a telescope?
No, that's what I mean. You kind of like this stuff. I mean, you cannot escape all the information superhighway.
You're miserable
ubiquitous.
Right now.
I'm not miserable. I'm
fine. So, can you read the newspaper?
Yeah, you can read the newspaper.
Okay. But wait a second. If you have a plane flight, if you're going full Amish and you have a plane flight later today, that flies into the face of Amish 90 or whatever it's called.
Exodus 90.
Oh, Exodus
90. No, I'm not. I mean, I'm old school, but I didn't ride a horse here. I got four-wheel drive, you know.
You got four-wheel drive?
I think I still know everything that's going on. I don't know, you know, the Mr. Big, some of the nuances of the stuff going on, I don't know, but
Nordo,
I feel like I know.
He has four-wheel drive. Nordo was leaving the X last week.
Don't do this.
Two-wheel drive bit.
A Nissan Altima, which is a fantastic vehicle, by the way.
Yeah. And so there was on Kellogg by the X, there's a slight incline.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, I'm from St. Paul.
It's actually a significant incline for a stretch.
Yeah, going up the Cathedral Hill there. Yeah.
Didn't time it the right way, had to stop.
Oh, no.
Car goes sideways. Life goes pear-shaped.
No, I got caught by the Honda Civic that didn't want to roll the yellow in inclement weather conditions, forced us both to a stop. And that set up both of our demises.
Yeah, you can't stop.
And it was terrible.
You can't stop. You
got to
keep
going. Two-wheel drive.
Yeah, but if you just keep going and a member of Rube Nation to your left or your right is encountering the same thing, that's how the cliched T-bone happens.
Yeah, but I think people kind of like people will give you a little bit of leeway, a little bit of grace on the stoplights because
they
know
people at the red who are waiting for the green are not rolling through. They're at the stop waiting for me to make a big spot life decision.
Here's a concession. six snows ago, it feels like we've had 15. Six snows ago, I picked up the 16-year-old girl. I had to pick her up in Waconia. I was I texted you before I left, Norto. It was when the Wild were playing, and I was listening to the Wild, and like I ripped Mikhail Granlund, and he scored right after that. Whatever. Yep. So I got it from where I live to Waconia as the crow flies with good weather, 35. Okay, in snowy weather or whatever, hour and change. Yeah. HOF girl needs to be picked up. We're in a tough spot here. So, on the country roads of said city, I think the speed limit was 55. I'm doing 3.5 or 4.0. Mm-hmm. And MnDOT has done a fantastic job with the roads. I come to that compromising spot where I'm 30 yards from the light. It goes yellow. I'm going 3.5, 4.0. And I start to brake, and the mug slides.
Yeah, yeah.
So I gunned it.
Oh, my God.
Car on the right. And I looked at HOF, and I'm like, I really hope they're paying attention.
Was there a car behind you?
And no, there wasn't. And I went to honking. So it was, zipped right through. Minnesotans are so, they've been to bad weather handling school.
Yes.
That they saw it, they understood it.
No big deal.
In fact, they waved as I went by.
That's what I mean. Now they'll understand that, but Norto, after you came to the stop on Kellogg, and then it went green, and then you tried to go, and you couldn't, they're not real understanding when it comes to that.
How
stressful is that when you know there's all these people behind you, and you can't go? I mean, you you start sweating on the back of your knees.
Mark, it's the worst.
So I got over the bridge where 35E goes under on that bit. And then as I'm hitting kind of the crest of where it's at its steepest, and I had to I had the door open, foot out,
Flintstone,
wheel all the way to the left, just praying and hoping that I can get off into this unplowed turn lane, because people are flying by me, mean mugging the bleep out of me.
Yeah.
So they
because I mean, you have a two-wheel drive car in a state that has 5 months that makes it difficult to have two-wheel drive. That's fair. I'm not. This is not elitist. This is not Western suburbs terrorism. This is a fact. If you have a two-wheel drive vehicle in this state, you are running the risk of getting mean mugged.
I understand that. That's the first time I've been stuck in the snow in like 6 years.
I actually think it's kind of selfish if you buy a two-wheel drive vehicle in Minnesota.
100%.
Yes. I mean, think of all those people you inconvenienced that night.
Yeah. Yeah, what about me on the country road in Victoria?
I like the gas mileage.
Because of two-wheel drive. Okay, I'm the day after the Super Bowl, I'm 25 minutes late to my radio show. It's 9:25 to noon. drop the 16-year-old off at Holy Family. All right, I'm going to be pushing it because of the black ice related terrorism. But on one of these country roads, two wheel drive terrorism, could not get up a slight incline. I'm heading east on an east west road. This car, Nordo's car, is north south.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we got a problem. Look to the left. Am I going to cheat and go to the left and drive in the oncoming traffic? No, because there's oncoming traffic and I can't do it. Do I go to the right, to the shoulder? That'd be cool. Can. A couple of nice Berkeys pulled over with their four-wheel drive bits trying to push this car out of distress. Can't go that way. It took me an hour and 20 minutes to go 0.9 miles.
Mm. Yeah, but that's on that person.
No, that was on your car.
No, it was on that individual, because at some point you know your car's an L and you're about to inconvenience a ton of people. So I got into an unplowed turn lane out of the way of traffic so people could get by.
Well, how'd you get
eventually
there?
I got help.
Yeah.
So I inched my way there.
You needed to compromise somebody else's day so that you didn't ruin the days of thousands.
I wasn't out there waving people down. A couple of people stopped and helped. That was their prerogative. Well, and I appreciate it.
Because you were afraid of being shot.
Why was I afraid of being shot on Kellogg and St. Paul?
You're going to get out of your car. People are going to be late for things, and you were worried something bad was going to happen.
That person, what they could have done before they had to go completely horizontal, is they get out of their car and they motion to the car behind them.
Right.
I got to back up.
Right.
Here's what's happening. And you back up, you get to the shoulder, and you take your massive morning L, and your day is ruined, and you let other people continue on their journey so that it doesn't become 9:25 to noon.
Awful weather outside. Verbal cheer being spread via 9 to noon. Some cool topics to get into with the Burke Bit. We do it next.
You're listening to PA. Last night took a L, but tonight I bounce back. On the Fan.
The Burke Bit. Matt Burke.
Hey, today man, I think it's a wonderful day. And I won't fight with my wife, cause it's the first of the month. And I'll be smoking, choking, rolling, buzzing, sipping on 40 ounces again. Come, come, we get to the front row. Stay watching all night, we ride.
All right, a lot to unpack with Berkey, Matt Burke. Former center for the Minnesota Vikings, won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. Let's begin with somebody from whom we'll hear tomorrow via press conference, new Vikings special teams coordinator Marwan Maalouf. You are more familiar with him than us. What can you tell us about Mr. Maalouf, the kind of guy he is, and what does he need to do here?
Marwan is a no BS guy. I have a vivid memory in Baltimore of some guy kind of trying to, you know, guy who
down memory lane we go.
He wasn't the hardest worker. He wasn't the best teammate, best locker room guy. And this is like March in an off season workout. He was trying to cut corners, and Marwan called him out, and the guy didn't really appreciate that. And Marwan didn't really care, and Marwan got all up in his face, and this is a young Marwan Maalouf.
That's great.
He's got fire. He's got fire, and
sweet.
You have to be like that to coach special teams in the NFL because nobody's coming to work every day. Nobody's coming in the NFL saying, man, I hope I make it I hope I have a 10-year career as a special teamer,
yeah,
right?
Like, I mean, Keith Farwell, Kasim Osgood.
Yeah, I mean, those guys embrace
Brandon
it.
Brandon Ayambadejo.
You know, most guys, hey, I was All-American at Alabama. I'm not here to play special teams. So you got to bring the fire and the passion. You got to get guys excited about playing special teams. Marwan will do that.
2019 kicker for the Vikings. He needs to figure that out, right?
I would say so. I mean, this you know, I mean, it's good that I think you have a new special teams coach with the kicking woes that this team has experienced in recent years. You know, hopefully that's kind of a fresh start, and those demons can be exercised.
Well, one thing I've learned, whether it's your former coaching mate, Rusty Tillman, through Mike Prefer, whomever, is special teams coordinators always obviously want to have the best players they can have on their coverage teams or whatever. It's not always the case. You know, because you don't want, you know, like Trey Waynes, his rookie year was not playing much corner, led the Vikings in special teams tackles. Thus, Trey raised via special teams. He's a good tackling corner. Trey doesn't see coverage anymore because he's too valuable at corner. So that's kind of a little tug and war between special teams coordinators and head coaches.
Yeah, I mean, you got to find the backups, right? You got to get them excited. You got to get them to buy in. You got to get them to play. Well, I don't want to say you're getting you're not getting spare parts, but you're not getting the most gifted and talented athletes to play on special teams. It just doesn't make sense. There's too much risk. They're already out there for 60, 70, 80 plays a game.
Yeah.
So the kicking game, right? It's always one of those things. Even though we know one in every six plays in an NFL game is a special teams play,
right?
And it's important, but it's an afterthought after offense and defense.
Marwan Maalouf, can't wait to meet him. Gary Kubiak also speaks tomorrow. You've gone over this before, but for those who missed it, with Gary Kubiak, Super Bowl winning head coach with the Denver Broncos, he's assisting the offense and he's the associate head coach. How can he help, and do you think he'll help with offensive linemen in the draft?
Yeah, I think he'll help. I mean, he's one of the foremost experts on this zone blocking. I mean, look at in Denver and then again in Houston. There's only two running plays they have, and they're closely tied together. It's inside zone and it's outside zone.
Yeah.
And so basically all you're asking your linemen to do, all you're asking them to do, is to get really, really good at one skill, one concept. And I mean, it sounds really simple. There's a million nuances. We did this the last 2 years in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And there'll be some growing pains early on, but it's all about getting the linemen, it's takeoff, it's aiming points, and it's getting the running backs, right? Whoever the backs are. And from what I've seen, I mean, I don't think Latavius Murray will have much of a problem where, you know, you get on your track and you basically stay on that track until somebody's in your way. And you put your foot in the ground, you get one cut, and you get up the field. And that you might get 3 yards, You might get 10 yards, you might get 8 yards, but you get one cut.
Yeah.
There's no dancing, there's no setting guys up, juking. It's you go until you can't go anymore, you put your foot in the ground, and you go upfield. And linemen typically have to be they have to be more athletic. You do a lot of running. You get really tired doing this because you are running guys down, especially on the backside.
Yep.
But it's obviously in Denver and then Houston to a certain extent, you can be successful with that. And it bodes well for play action, which we know is where Kirk Cousins is at his best.
There is a Kevin Stefanski press conference tomorrow, new offensive coordinator full-time for the Minnesota Vikings. Yours truly is very excited for him. He joins 9 to noon Friday at 11:30. Kevin Stefanski on this radio show Friday at 11:30. Working with Kirk Cousins, I mean, I was around it last year, but I'm not so intimate with it that I know exactly what it's like working with Kirk. But good for Kevin for many reasons. But maybe one of the biggest is he was Kirk's quarterback's coach last year. And when it comes to flustering the quarterback or having the quarterback really, really succeed, you know, Kevin has to know where all those bones are buried.
No, absolutely. And that's going to benefit. And Kevin's a guy, right? He just seems like he's always been sort of wise beyond his years. And he's what, yeah. 30-something, but been in...
36.
36, but been in a bunch of different systems with a bunch of different head coaches. He's super smart. And so I think he's got this. He's kind of got this wisdom, and working closely with Kirk last year probably saw what made Kirk uncomfortable. Yep. in DeFilippo's offense and what Kirk likes to do. And I know this too. Kevin's not an ego guy. I mean, to have Gary Kubiak come in, I mean, I think Kevin's great with that, I would imagine.
You know,
great. I can learn from this guy. He's going to take the input. There's no pride of authorship. There's no, hey, this is my system. This is how we're going to run it.
Yeah.
It's just all about being successful.
And Gary's son, Clint, is the new quarterback's coach, and Clint and Kevin are very close. So, you know, in chatting with Mike Zimmer about the way these offensive meetings, the tear down and the look forward are going, Mike's incredibly happy. He's very happy at the selfless nature of those making decisions. It is ego-free, from what I understand, or at least what Mike has told me. It's an ego-free environment, and you laid it out perfectly. Kevin, Gary, Clint, Petzing, nobody has to absolutely slam down their fist and say, my way or the highway. It's a jambalaya of thought. And it's working.
And I think the other thing too is, I mean, let's just be honest, and that you need to get some better players up front. And so it's not like, hey, we've got all this talent, we can't figure out why it's not working. Yeah. I mean, you can see what's working, what's not, but you can also say we are going to get better through the draft and free agency up front. And no matter what we go out there and try to run, we're going to be better because we're going to have better personnel.
One of the last two things for Matt Burke, it's the Burke Bit weekly 9 to noon. Ooh, one of the last three things. No Burke Bit last week. Your former teammate and dear friend, Joe Flacco, was traded to the Denver Broncos.
I know.
How do you know? You're not on Twitter.
I heard. Weird, right? Like, I mean, I got so many. One, I think you ultimately just evaluate your quarterback as, can we win a Super Bowl with this guy?
Yeah.
And with Joe Flacco, the answer is obviously yes. Now you can say, well, he's too old. He's, you know, that year you won the Super Bowl, that was an outlier. I don't think it is. I don't think Baltimore had ever put the pieces around him again to be successful. I mean, he needs a certain amount of support.
Mm-hmm.
So you just say, well, he's not good enough. I say, okay, I mean, I guess I can see moving on. But then the Lamar Jackson thing, I don't want to dive into that, but I just don't see that working long term. But you're committed to Lamar Jackson. He went 6-1 the last 7 games, so you got to ride that horse. But I think Baltimore loses in that deal, and I think Denver, whatever you think about Joe Flacco, they like to run the ball. They got a good running game. I think Denver's got a chance to come out, and Elway might have found a guy.
It it got splashy yesterday, specifically with Twitter. Blake Barrett's, Adam Thielen's agent, was on a local radio station, and paraphrasing, basically said Adam Thielen has outperformed his deal. So do you think specifically, with where this team is salary cap wise, like $11 million under as of right now, and the big fat Cousins deal, which is guaranteed, should the Vikings give him a new deal post haste, Adam Thielen, or do you wait?
I think you should.
Yeah.
because he's not just a great player, but I think he's one of your leaders. He's one of your guys. He's a good guy. He's a right way guy. He's one of us. Right. It's just kind of one of those situations. You don't have to. So it'd probably be, hey, I'm sure that the conversation goes something like this. Hey, we're willing to give you a new deal and give you a bump, but probably not market rate.
Yeah,
you know, but we want to do right by you, but we can't just we can't just tear up the old one and give you Antonio Brown money or whatever you're looking for. So right. So there'll have to be some compromise if there is a new deal.
See, what's interesting here, and I know it's an impossibility, but listen to the way I phrase it. It's like an agent, and in this case, Thielen's agent, they are always quick to point out, my player has outperformed his deal. We need a new one. How come when players underperform deals, agents don't come back and say, we'd like to give back the money?
Blake Bortles' agent wasn't saying, hey, Jacksonville, here's $10 million back from this past
year. What a perfect example. You know, be the first one to come out and say, Blake Bortles is underperforming his deal, so we'd like to be the first to announce that we're giving Jacksonville $10 million.
That's why those agents get 3%, because they got to be that guy.
Boy, they get loud and obnoxious, though, when their guys are outperforming their deals and how quickly they want the money, and it has to be now, and if it's not now, then my guy's not going to show up, and they get all loud and everything. But when they underperform the deal, your player is underperforming a deal, it's...
That's what we like to call the bidness. The bidness.
And finally, former Gophers football coach Jerry Kill chatting on Sirius College Football Radio about current coach PJ Fleck. It's an elongated bite when he was prompted for his opinion, not only on the current program, but the current head coach. Here's what Jerry Kill had to say.
Why doesn't he like you?
You know, it's a thing that, you know, when he got the job, you know, he was talking, you know, first of all, I had him for the first, he coached with me, but after that, you know, he changed a lot. I'll just be honest with you guys. I mean, people that have known him before, and when he got with Shiano, and then it just, his personality changed a lot. And I knew his first wife, and he just changed a bunch. And then once he became a head coach, I mean, I helped him get the job at Western Michigan. And I just think, sometimes ego gets carried away, and when he went into Minnesota and treated the people the way he treated my guys, and telling them he had to go in and completely change the culture, and it was a bad culture and bad people. You know, he made it sound like we didn't know what we were doing, and I took it personal. You just don't treat people that have been with you and helped your career, and you don't even talk to them. You know, once you get the job.
When he got the job and all that stuff happened, did you ever call him or did you ever air it out with him?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't good.
When's the last time you talked to him?
That's the last time.
So a few years then.
Yeah, and it will be the last time. Do I still root for the Gophers? I do. Do I enjoy him running up and down the sideline? No. Do I think that he's about the players? No. He's about himself. And, you can't tell me you've watched him. You think you listen to his interview. You think he's for the talk. Thinks about the players. I just lost a lot of respect. You know, it's kind of like when Jimbo Fisher left Florida State and went to A&M, and Trickett, who'd been with him for years and years and years, he never even gave him a call, and he just takes off and goes to A&M, doesn't call. I mean, those kind of things disappoint me in people. So I guess maybe disappointment is a better way to put PJ, and disappointed on how he handled some things.
I don't know if you, if Matt Burke, you know Jerry Kill, you know PJ Fleck. If for a former coach to go on a national radio or TV show like that and handle it the way Jerry Kill handled it, What are your thoughts on that?
My spidey sense says that I think Jerry Kill is just kind of bummed that he can't coach anymore. You know, he came here to Minnesota, was having some success, kind of had it going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And then with the seizures, you know, had to step down. I mean, and he tried to get back into coaching. I mean, you know, he's a ball coach, right? I mean, you listen to him talk. I've heard him talk in person. I met the man.
Yeah.
He just wants to coach ball. You know, I mean, it's like, that's all he wants to do is coach ball, and he can't anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of hurts him that he can't do what he loves to do, what he feels like he was put on this earth to do.
Yeah.
And so he's just a little bit bitter, and I don't know. I mean, what he says is true or not, but obviously that's not the right way to handle it. You're not looking good. It's not good. You say you root for the Gophers, but to trash the head coach, you're not helping the Gophers. So, you know, I wish Jerry well. And I mean, you can, you know, you certainly have your opinions. What he says, he's entitled to his opinion. What he says might be true, but I think those things are just best kept to yourself.
Yeah, I never would have or would handle a situation like that. Never, ever, ever. That's just, even if I felt it. The honesty and the candor that he displayed, obviously something is gnawing at him, and it came out. And I respect and appreciate that, too. I thought it was way out of line to bring up his first wife.
Yeah.
And how something, personality changed or whatever. You know, and if you...
It's personal. Like, there's something personal.
There. Big time. Because the way Jerry laid it out, Jerry had a stake in him getting his head coaching job at Western Michigan. So, you know, if that truly is the case, and I have no reason to believe it's not, and you feel somebody has turned on you the way he feels this man has turned on him, or if there's a metamorphosis of a personality, that's one thing. If you feel somebody has turned on you, that's a completely other thing. Jerry clearly is offended. So while I appreciate the honesty, I'm not a fan of stuff like that being shared publicly.
You can handle that man to man, right? You can make a call and say, hey, you know, what's the deal? I feel like I'm disappointing you. Yeah. Blah blah blah. You can go through. The other thing too is, look, these college head coaching jobs, they don't come around a lot. And these coaches, I mean, they work their tails off to just to have a chance and an opportunity to coach a Big Ten football team.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm not speaking to the details of this particular situation, but sometimes you gotta say, hey, look, this might be his one and only shot to coach a major college football program. He's got to do things the way that he feels like he has to do them.
Yeah.
Now, he might look back someday and regret that he did so. I'm sure we all look back. I could have done this better. I should have done this. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I did this. But, you know, like Jerry, especially being in that situation too, right? Like you've got to give the guy the respect and the courtesy and say, all right, look, this is your chance. You're going to get fired. All coaches are going to get fired, right? You're going to get fired someday.
Yeah.
So do it your way. And if that's PJ's way, is running up and down and doing this stuff, then like let him do that, because ultimately at the end of his coaching career, and like I said, every coach gets fired, he's got to look back and say, at least I did it my way.
Tibbs?
Well, the key for me is he's referencing essentially the ego of PJ Fleck and how he handles things. I haven't met many coaches at a major college program level or at the NFL level, pro sports in general.
Yeah.
You don't get to that point by not having an ego, because mm-hmm. ultimately it's about...
Leslie Frazier was like that.
Yeah, Leslie had no ego.
Leslie was the most ego-free individual I've ever met in pro sports.
And very much in most situations, you have guys at those levels that get to dictate their terms. They're the ultimate salesman to the university. They run absolutely everything. This is a guy that cultivated a coaching staff that he brought with him from another smaller school that he had been with all of them for 18 years. Jerry Kill certainly had an ego about his philosophy and how he wanted to accomplish things at the state of Minnesota. So I'm with you in the terms that at one point it was not being able to coach and the manner in which the game was somewhat taken from me with the health issues.
Yeah.
And then there's a bit, and he referenced it a couple of times. It was how my guys were handled. So whether it was Clay's and the former staff that was under Jerry Kill that were unceremoniously let go as part of the regime change, which typically handles it. And then he mentions Jimbo Fisher and how he handles things. So a lot of it was almost like, you never said thanks. You know, you never gave me props for ultimately setting some things in motion a number of years ago that put you in this spot.
Right.
So there, I love the term bitterness in this regard.
And I can buy that.
And so, you know, and some of it is then we got flashy PJ Fleck versus the antithesis of that, really, with Jerry Kill. So now there's the judgment of how PJ's handling even at the base fundamental level of his program.
Yeah.
And I think in the end, and Burke, you played for a lot of guys, the biggest indicator is how these players go to work for PJ Fleck.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I've heard through his 2-year tenure at the University of Minnesota, the kids run through walls
big time
for PJ Fleck.
Yeah.
And so whatever the personal thing is, wasn't handled correctly in my viewpoint, and PJ is getting kids to go to that school and play hard for him.
Yeah, in closing, because Berkey has to go, I'm not going to say it's family members of players that are either on the team or will be on the team in the very near future. But I know multiple people who have players involved in this PJ Fleck program. And without leading too much, there even may be a player where things have not gone incredibly well for that player on and or off the field. And I talk to these people frequently because I know them through outside of radio. And I have never heard them voice one bad thing about PJ Fleck not caring for their son, not handling their son the right way when something has gone pear-shaped, and not caring for the kids on this team. So I agree with what Eric said, and we've even heard it on sound bites after wins, losses, or whatever. They love this guy, and he's like one of them. So I find that part to be completely bogus with what Jerry shared. Travel safely, and hopefully we'll see it probably in a couple of weeks because we go to the Indianapolis Combine next week.
All right, sounds good.
See you, bud.
Bye.
That's the Burke Bit, final segment next.
You're listening to PA.
Faith is belief without proof.
On the Fan.
I can't wait until tomorrow. 'Cause tomorrow might very well be too late. I can't wait until tomorrow. 'Cause tomorrow could never come. I know it could end any minute, but I pray tomorrow comes. But it could be too late. I'm ready to smile, but for a long while wouldn't take much to get me down. My mother dreaming color, most of all
I'm seen for a second.
I can't wait.
Hold on to your butt.
I can't wait until tomorrow.
No way!
'Cause tomorrow might very well be too late.
Personal foul. Clipping.
Yeah.
Lindsey Whalen joins 9 to noon tomorrow. Excited to chat with the Crossover Czarina.
Oh, yeah.
She is coach of the Golden Gophers women's basketball team. Victorious, I believe, 6 consecutive times. Ms. Whalen, Ms. Whalen's biggest concern right now is moderate chop as her team flies from the Twin Cities to, I believe, National Airport. Like it like splits Virginia and Washington, D.C. There are 2 airports in the greater D.C. area. One is called Dulles. Well, there are 3. Dulles is deep in Virginia. National, or I think it's DCA, as they say in the FAA aviation business. That's right by Washington, D.C. Then there's BWI, which is Baltimore, Washington International.
Is that the one closest to where Maryland is? I mean, considering it's in Maryland?
It's in Maryland.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Maryland.
So college. Well, I don't know where College Park is. Let's start with that before I sound like a complete idiot.
College Park sucks, okay?
Jeez.
I'm an elite Maryland mind.
I know you are.
So let's fade the music and fire up Dan McNally.
Tell me about Oxon Hill.
Yeah, how'd that Foligno goal prediction for Dan McNally work?
Dan McNally.
Fins, that's okay.
Oakland?
Team is 3-1 and... When Finns joins the show, we're 3-1-1. Yeah. We're still having fun.
Still a winning record.
We're 3-1-1. Finzy, we'll invite you back. Don't take it personally. Finzy, it's the virus known as say something, everybody's giving up on you.
Yeah.
That's why we montage to begin the show. What's the name of the band that does that? Great Big World or something?
It feels like Great Big World.
Yeah, Great Big World and the version... When I was mentally crafting the montage as we went down 3-0, before the empty netter, and you and I are texting and talking more than people know, you are a sleeve and a half deep in Ritz crackers, sliced salami, and Swiss cheese.
I was pepperoni and cheddar last night.
I am 5 pieces deep of Jet's pizza.
That picture you sent me.
How good did that pizza look, though?
Oh, my God. It was so good.
With the special bread they have.
And you have the fire in the background of the photo.
Are you kidding me?
It's a chill spot. You had, I think, a Vikings blanket over your old legs.
I told you, if I, with my metabolism being as fast as it is.
Yes.
And my...
You're very hyperactive in many ways.
My thyroid is different than 96% of humanity.
Hmm.
And that's what I've been told by a doctor. It's why I blink the way I do. It leads to the facial tics that I have.
Yes.
It's thyroid metabolism related terrorism. So, but thus, I'm able to crush 4 pieces of pizza in this turbo bread.
Yeah.
And even a little side of antipasto salad with Italian dressing, with the wood burning fire, the wild taking the fat L. and the lights dim. It's so peaceful and stimulating and comfortable.
Yeah.
Problem is, I did it again last night because I just can't say no. What was it last night? There are four sleeves of, see, I bought Girl Scout cookies here adjacent to the accomplished pianist, Sir Leonard Dykert. And I bought this s'mores brand that I've never had, and it's pretty good.
In terms of entrepreneurial spirit, by the way, mm-hmm. their location placement down in the lobby of 1600 Utica.
Brilliant.
You got no shot.
Right.
You have to stop there, and right. they will gladly take your money as you donate, yeah. of course, to the young girls in the troop.
Right, but I felt bad for Girl Scouts Nation, because the day that I bought the one-pack packet of s'mores Girl Scout cookies and gave them 20 and said, keep 15 for the cause... I did that because it was President's Day, man. Yeah. Most of the offices were closed.
Mm-hmm.
So the baby girls were potentially taking financial L's.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned, Monday evening, couple of sleeves of the s'mores cookies. Oh. So last night...
More sleeves.
Last night was one sleeve, but I found some Kit Kats that were buried in the pantry.
Yes.
And I went to the pantry looking for popcorn... And I found these Kit Kats, and they actually weren't bad. All five packs of them. Now, they're mini packs, okay? They're not the big, fat orange packs. They're mini packs.
So it was a two-piecer.
Right.
Yeah.
They're two pieces, but like half the size of the normal piece.
Yep.
Yeah, but if you put five together, it's like three normal packs.
That's perfect, yeah.
With the sleeve of s'mores.
The sugar high and the pizza.
Right. And Sprite with grenadine for Shirley Temple. I can't control myself. So I know I have to stop the sweets. If I can stop the sweets, the metabolism and the thyroid and the weird blinking, that all will take care of it. That all will take care of the pizza and the turbo bread.
You have a diet of a 14-year-old boy.
It's when I get into the sweets, that's when the extra chin transpires.
There's no stopping you.
That's when, you know, I get mad at the FA for shrinking a shirt when technically the shirt's not shrunk. I'm just going the wrong way.
Yeah, the shirt's fine.
Shirt's fine. I'm not.
That one looks good on you, by the way.
Thanks. Lindsey Whalen tomorrow 9 to noon. Nacho Lieber in studio tomorrow 9 to noon. And this conversation we have been slow playing about the girls' state high school hockey tournament at the X or at Ritter Arena, that's going to be talked out tomorrow with somebody who knows 1,000 times more about it than do we. That'll be an in-studio guest tomorrow. For Nordo, I'm Paul Allen. Brian Heating and Cooling Studios, FM 100.3, KFAN. Thanks a lot for listening. Don't forget, Duke and for those of you right next to our tower, Duke and North Carolina this evening, KFAN Plus, 96.7. Time for the producer to put a wrap on the show.
And the Paddy Wagon brings us the 9 to noon show wraps. The Paddy Wagon, 61st and Nicollet.
Ha!
In the winter, PA's a snob with four-wheel drive. Summertime, left lane in 94, he's driving 45. Keep your advice to yourself, no thanks. And we'll remember the next time you can't open your own gas tank. Please, we get it. You're super cool, man. At least my Altima got me here before 9:25, man. Because of you, we constructed a company-wide game plan. The new phone bit works like a string between soup cans. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, sweet show. Say something, or the wild giving up on each other, or Boudreaux. Need to break the ice, pranksters, jokes, and lively jabs. Maybe do a team dinner. Stick Suter with the tab.
Football feast.
That's right.
I know, right? PA and charge.
Hold on to your butt. Not getting hassled.
9 to noon.
Making a way when you can.
Temporary late. PA.
The game is over.
Time for two more.
Scratch it and some.
If it's good news or money, leave a message.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Paul Allen Channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.